Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever and whenever you're tuning in from, my fellow Liberty lovers. This is Amber S. from Living with Freedom Ministries, reminding you to tune in on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific time, for the Living with Freedom show, where we'll embrace what living with freedom can look like physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and in everyday life. That's 2 p.m. Central, noon Pacific, here on Freedomizer Radio.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Hello, I'm Mike. My birthing partner and I just got our new Lysenica Freedom microchips. These microchips are awesome. They help me keep the freedom I used to before I enrolled into Southern Hampshire Institute of Technology.
I am Jamar. I am friends with Mike and his birthing partner. We met at SHIT. I am a liberal media major. I also just got a Lysenica Freedom microchip. SHIT recently mandates everyone on campus get their Freedom microchip. I jumped on the Lysenica joint.
This Freedom chip grants me the freedom to go everywhere I was allowed to before COVID. Now this chip tells me when I am and am not allowed to go outside. It also tracks my boosters. If I'm not up to date on a chip, it tells me when I need to get it by.
This chip is sweet. Without this Freedom chip, no one is allowed on our campus. I scan my hand whenever I want to pay for something. It also calls for an ambulance when I get another heart attack from a booster, which is totally not a heart attack from them getting a gene therapy.
These Freedom chips are free. You can go to any drugstore or China Mart. An employee would insert it in your wrist.
Remember, it is not the mark of the beast. You just need to let Lysenica track and trace your every move. You just need a Freedom chip to buy, sell, work, and live. When you get a microchip, look for the Lysenica Freedom microchips. They are sweet.
Okay, class, we want to talk about what we learned during the lockdown. The first question is, what did we learn during the quarantine, kids? Susie,
that government overreach is real.
What about you, Johnny?
We went from home of the brave to home of the government slave.
And you, Michael?
We need to refresh the tree of liberty.
What about you, Diane?
So many sheep are willing to give up their rights because of a little fear.
Very good, class.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com. Hello Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wireizer. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the one world government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Welcome. Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer. Welcome to the Proof Negative radio show right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another great night here on Freedomizer Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the big kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us today. Today is Wednesday, so we'll have Joanne joining us here in just a second. And if you out there in Radio Land have anything you want to share, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number one on your phone. I will make it a point to bring you into today's conversation. So I do have Joanne joining us. Joanne, welcome in. I don't have the famous clapping sound because I'm uploading a clip right now.
Well, hello to you all. Hello, Freedomizers. Hey, Proof. Happy Wednesday to all of you.
Oh, thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
Oh, well, thank
you
for
thanking me. A lot of news to get to today. Yeah. thank you. We got all kinds of thank yous going on. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
All the pleasantries. I love that.
So what's first?
So,
personally, if we're doing side talk for a few minutes, we can. I always like to do that. Otherwise, if we want to get into news, I want to talk about the Hunter plea deal first, but we could do whatever.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about that first. We could talk about anything you want. I have a whole lineup in front of me just in case, so we're not going to run out of topics tonight for sure. You can begin where you want, my friend. I got all kinds of Hunter stuff here.
So this plea deal, who gave him this plea deal? Because that's what I was trying to figure out originally.
I believe it was the prosecutor, allegedly the prosecutors in Delaware. But seeing that it was a federal courthouse, it had to be handled with the DOJ, too. So they would have more input in it. And you know the DOJ and the Republicans and the prosecutors, everybody had to be in on it, not just the lawyers, not just the defense lawyers. You know, the prosecutors had to be right there on the same page. Because there's no way. And you just see what they try to sneak into this deal? Absolute immunity going forward?
That's what I was trying to understand here, because people that got tickets for jaywalking would get a bigger penalty than whatever Hunter. And to be honest, I don't even know what they were going to charge Hunter with, because it sounded like a lot of the stuff was going to be swept under the rug. And then the goal was this, not even a slap on the wrist, but just a, hey, maybe you should never do this again if you possibly can. And then that in exchange would be for permanent never getting arrested for this.
Yeah, but not just for this. They were trying to put an immunity on the FARA, the Foreign Agent Registration Act, they said that they couldn't charge him. This was the equivalent of a pardon.
Yeah.
This deal. There was all kinds of hidden things in there. First of all, last night, the lawyer for Hunter Biden.
This is my favorite part, by the way.
Yeah, he called to the Justice Department, the prosecutor's office, and said, oh, those papers that we filed to include the witness testimony, the whistleblower testimony in that amicus brief that they filed, that was accidentally filed, and we would like to take it from the record. So today, when the judge shows up, she says, and she had already known about it, she tracked the call to Hunter's lawyers. But she asked specifically, where's the amicus brief? So her clerk said, well, they called last night and asked for it to be removed. So the judge said to the prosecutor, did you call to have that removed? And they said, no, ma'am. And then they found out that it was Hunter's lawyer, a female lawyer, had the nerve, the audacity, to call and try to impersonate a prosecution lawyer and have some information stripped from the record. That's cause for disbarment right there. You know, so when the judge showed up this morning, and she already knew about it, she was really ticked off. And then they tried to chump her even more. They tried to get her to sign that deal stating that she was just taking away the ability to prosecute, and the ability to be a judge, rather. She was just signing off on this deal, and then there would be no further prosecutions, and that she finally got the prosecutor to admit, yeah, that deal is in there, for future immunity from all charges federal, which means it's just a blanket immunity going forward, and you can't ever charge him with anything else. But they brought him in on the tax charges. And then she asked about the gun, and that was supposed to be expunged from his record. They didn't even charge him with the gun. There was no charges for the gun. They wanted that expunged, too.
So what I was trying to, what I got from this, Joanne, was that they just put up something, just any charge, any old charge, so that they can go in and claim immunity for anything and everything that could ever possibly happen with Hunter. And they were they were hopeful that it would go through.
They thought that the judge was just going to rubber stamp it and she wasn't going to look it over. You know, I know the pressure that's on her, but there's pressure on all sides in her, and she's going to throw her whole reputation down the toilet going forward for Hunter Biden and for Joe Biden. And this isn't really about Hunter. It's all about Joe, because this is going to lead to Joe. It's going to lead to Obama, too. Obama was everybody's boss. He was Joe's boss. He was the DOJ's boss. He was the FBI's boss, CIA, all the intelligence agencies, the FISA court. He was everybody's boss. So all these hoaxes and all this stuff going on around him, plus there's other reasons to believe that Obama knew, and Obama is probably the real big guy, is they keep showing you this clip of Joe Biden bragging about how he got that prosecutor in Ukraine fired, the one that was looking into Burisma, his son, you know, partner company, the people that
or
were giving
Chanko
the son
like
millions
that.
Of dollars. But he said that he wasn't going to be, he was leaving in a couple of hours, and if the prosecutor wasn't fired, they weren't getting the money. So then he said, the guy says to me, you're not the president. He said, go ahead, call him. When he said, go ahead, call him, that should tell you right there, Obama knew. You wouldn't say, go ahead, call my boss.
Yeah.
If your boss didn't know. Plus, it's, you know, it's all over the place that Joe shared accounts with his son, Hunter. So why would he have to have a 10% set aside? If his name's on the bank account, he could have taken 100%. He could have taken his own 10% right out of that account and moved it to somewhere else. He didn't need a set aside amount. So who was really getting that 10%? Who's the real big guy? Because Joe could have taken it all if he wanted it.
So let me ask you this then, Joanne. Is it possible that even though the IRS whistleblower said that 10% is for the big guy, which is Brandon, is it possible that even the FBI didn't know who the big guy was?
That's a possibility. You know, when you first look at all of that, it does look like it's Joe who's the big guy, who they're all talking about. But just the little things that they say makes you realize that Joe's not the real big guy, that there's somebody even bigger who's getting a 10% cut. Now, think about it rationally. We have all these super spies and intel agencies, and Obama gets briefed every single day. And, you know, they showed him that, what's that, 1023, that the suspicious activities papers, they briefed him on that. But nobody told the boss. All of this is going on all around him. His vice president is compromised and taking bribes. The kid is taking bribes. Hillary's putting fake dossiers in, and they're getting fake FISA warrants. So all these people, all this is going on around Obama, and Obama had no clue. Nobody told him. He has cabinet members and people that are paid to tell him these things. So he had to have approved it. There's no way this was all going on, especially under Valerie Jarrett's nose. Maybe she's the real big guy. But Valerie Jarrett ran a tight ship. And if that was going on around him, she would have found ways to either insulate him, or she knew.
See, Joanne, I might be the only one that thinks this, but I don't think Barry Satoro himself or Valerie Jarrett was the big guy. I think it's Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady. They don't call her Big Mike for nothing.
It could be. But they were all scoring big. You know, look at all this money these people got. You can buy mansions on Martha's Vineyard, mansions in Delaware, mansions at Rehoboth Beach. Really, mansions in Hawaii.
So Joanne, let me go back to this for a second here, because with this, all the this meddling and changing the paperwork and impersonating, is anything going to happen to these bad actors?
What's going to happen is a lot of underlings are going to have to, you know, fall on their swords, especially that lawyer that tried to impersonate the opposition lawyer. Yes, I'm sure she'll be reprimanded. Other people will be reprimanded. You know, Devin Archer is going to be reprimanded. He's testifying this week. They're going to find ways to bury him. Joe Biden can give Hunter a pardon. So I really don't anticipate him going to jail at any time soon. You know, this is all a nuisance right now. But that kid's not going to jail. Unless there really is some good guys out there. And the old man's going down for treason and high crimes. Bribery is one of them. Bribery is specifically mentioned in the Constitution. High crimes. But
so that was one of my questions, because if Brandon and Hunter were in this together, Brandon can't pardon himself and his son. Can he pardon his son for the same crime that he was caught doing?
Well, if he's not
impeached.
I guess
there's no precedent.
If he's not impeached and he's not charged, if you're going to pardon that kid, he better do it soon. But there's been a big shift. There's an awful lot coming out about the Bidens. And it has to be that the Democrats want them gone, too.
Well,
they have become too much of a liability.
He still thinks he can run for a second term. So everybody, from what I've heard, said that they were going to let him just coast through this term if he was willing to step aside, and he's not willing to step aside. He somehow thinks he's insanely popular, and he is steadfastly under the belief that he legitimately got those 81 million votes.
Yeah, well, then he's absolutely delusional. But they're pushing him out. They've been pushing him out since he got that puppy. Remember I told everybody they're putting him out to pasture. They even got him a new puppy, which is now biting Secret Service. But you heard about that, right?
Yeah.
The dog's biting the Secret Service people? Well, I think I know why that is, too. He's probably stumbling and falling, and when they go to help him up, the dog gets confused and thinks they're going to harm him. He's already on the ground, you know, and then you go rushing up to him. The dog's going to protect him and bite you. That's the dog's job, is to protect its master. So I think that's why they're getting bit, is something's going on where these people have to reach quickly towards the president and the dog isn't pleased with it. I don't know the circumstances, but four of those Secret Service have been bitten by this dog.
So am I right then, Joanne, in a sense that if Brandon announced that he's a one-term president and he's not seeking re-election, that that they would just try and cover for him for another year and let him go?
Oh, yeah. All of this would go away. All of it would go away.
That they're going to have to do all this, and then Barry Satoro might be implicated, isn't that going to hurt Big Mike from trying to be president, even though he doesn't want to be president in the first place?
Yeah, well, see, now's when they got to start making the moves, because you're absolutely right. This is all going to lead to him. Well, I don't know if the snowball effect is too far, but if they push it out of people's minds and Joe Biden says, oh, I'm too sick or elderly or demented or whatever to run, and he steps aside, then it all goes away with him.
Yeah.
You know, whoever's next can pardon him, and that'll be the end of it. I don't know about the kid, but, you know, he'll fade from everybody's memory, too. People have a short memory, so the further they push those trials down the road, you know, someday when he ever actually does go to trial, it'll be a blip on page six or something. But right now, it's very, very much in the headlines. And Hunter Biden shouldn't even be going to jail for all this. What he should be going to jail for is human trafficking and molesting his 14-year-old niece.
Exactly.
That type of stuff. That's what he should be going to jail for. You know, but everybody's focused on this tax stuff. Yeah, what's his name? Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. They all owe all kinds of millions of dollars in taxes. No one's going after them. But,
well,
you know,
like we said, it was just a way to find any old charge. And this way they can sneak in some stuff to make sure nothing ever happened again. So, yeah, we'll give you 90 days probation for your gun charge. And then everything else just goes away. Just hit yes.
Yeah. All right, now the judge says that he has to find a job, he has to stay off drugs, and he can't have any guns. She should have him buy from going near children, him and his father. There's pictures out there, and they weren't even taken down, so they got to be legit because the fact checkers have not taken them down, and you know.
Well,
if they
everybody's more interested in trying to impeach Marjorie Taylor Greene for showing that picture.
Yeah, well, that picture, that was with a trafficked human being.
Yes.
But there's pictures on that website, on all over Twitter, of him molesting his niece. He's on top of her, he's naked, and he has his hand on her throat. She's looking directly at the camera. The girl's 14
yeah.
years old. They shouldn't even have those pictures or at least blur out her face. But maybe that's why they're paying her off.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and Joe Biden knows that
that
happened to his granddaughter.
How dare you show a picture of naked Hunter Biden in Congress? It's like, well, why is it more important to shoot the messenger than it is to say no to the message?
Right. And that picture that she showed, she got it off of Pornhub. So he wanted people to see that. She got it from public domain, which was pretty slick, by the way. That was smart.
Oh, I didn't even know where she got it. I didn't know.
Yeah, he put it out on Pornhub himself. So obviously he wanted people to see it. He's trying to sue her. You notice that left the headlines real quick because she said, I got it from Pornhub. You had to have put it there. So that's public domain. She had every right to
that's
take
true.
It. It was public. Yeah, she was smart. But still, you know, she was trying to get at least that subject introduced because there's a hell of a lot worse things there. I saw a photograph of him holding the hand of a little girl. She looked like about 6 years old. She was wearing a bra and garters, this child. And he's holding her hand. She looked about six, maybe seven. So that dirtbag should be in jail for that. And just for molesting the niece. She's 14. And he photographed it. So this poor little girl got to live with this the rest of her life. They're not one big happy family. That's unbelievable. That's what he should be in jail for. You know, when are we going to get to that part? Because really, nobody gives a damn about how much taxes he owes. He didn't pay it anyhow. Some donor paid for it. Some donor put up the money for that. Somebody out in San Francisco, I forget who it was. But yeah, they paid his back taxes so that they can, you know, no victim, no crime now. But, you know, once you get charged, doesn't matter if you pay it. You committed the crime, or at least you're a defendant in this. you pay it after the fact, you still, you know, you took too long. But, you know, there's a big discrepancy about taxes. There's a lot of people that don't think anyone should pay taxes. And the gun thing, yeah, he shouldn't have guns, especially if he threw it in a dumpster near a school. You know, there's other ways to get rid of a gun that you no longer need to have in your possession. You could walk into a police station and say, here, I shouldn't have this, if that's really your point. They'll happily take it from you, and that'll be the end of it. You know, they got those buyback programs all the time. And he probably would have been a liberal hero if he did it that way. But, you know, this guy's not going to jail, and he really is a degenerate. He's a dirtbag. But he's not in trouble for the things he should be in trouble for. And that's what they're doing. They're, you know, on one hand, they're showing you all this stuff and just making it fantastic and splashing it all over the headlines and, oh, my God, and Hunter's in trouble for the tax evasion and everybody's, yeah, you know, put him in jail. No. That's just distraction. You should see the other stuff that's on there. You know, and like you said about Marjorie Taylor Greene showing that photograph. Yeah, everybody's appalled at that. People get naked all the time, you know, and if it was a consenting adult, then, you know, she really didn't have any business. But if she was a victim in a child, in a human trafficking thing, and then she found out she was, you know, she's part of some human trafficking organization, she really is a victim, and he flew her across the country to bring her to D.C. to have sex with him. And then he listed her as an employee on one of his companies. Then he tried to charge, you know, he tried to write it off on his taxes, her fee. Imagine that? That's arrogance. Yeah, I'm going to fly hookers out and then I'm going to write them off on my taxes. Nice if you can get it, huh?
Well, that's, but then again, they thought that they'd be able to get that past the courts.
Yeah. He wrote off his membership at a sex club, too. I guess there's some sex club out in Las Vegas for members only. Some exclusive club. And he wrote off his membership fee for that, too. You know, this guy's thinking with the wrong head all the time. I can't believe how far we've sunk. Can you believe? I mean, it used to be somebody got a divorce, it was a scandal in the papers. Now, this type of stuff doesn't even make the papers. A lot of those networks are not even reporting on it.
No.
Yeah, because they want it all to go away. All the media is propaganda. Don't believe anything you see on any one of those networks, including Fox.
Yeah, they've really gone down the garbage disposal over the last few years.
Yeah, well, they're matching donations to Satanist groups and
yes.
Planned Parenthood for their employees. You know, who even put them down as a charitable organization for them to have to match the funds and approve of it? This whole world has turned sick. You know, we got a lot of problems going on. This whole country is upside down. People don't know what to do. They're all over the place. We're all being herded into tribalism. You know, all your little subgroups everywhere. So people are not uniting as Americans. Everybody's hyphenated.
But let me ask you though. So, do you think that this Hunter and Joe stuff, does that take out Big Mike, or for somebody that barely is showing any interest, if at all? So, does that mean that they're full steam ahead on Gruesome, or are they still going to try and get Big Mike even with this scandal?
No, I think they're going with Newsom. Michelle doesn't want the job, and, you know, she is smart enough to know that this snowball is going to roll uphill. It all comes down in the Obama's lap. He was everyone's boss.
Yeah.
You know, the buck stops at the top, and he was at the top. You know, if he didn't know, how come he didn't know? And if he didn't know, how come heads aren't rolling?
So with Big Mike not being in the picture, does that mean that they're not going to be brought up as much because they're not in the public eye?
Right. You're right. Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Because if they decided to put her up there, you know that the independent journalists, the citizens journalists, they're all going to be digging into her background. And then some stuff's going to come up about her husband and about his presidency and about all this stuff with Joe because he was the boss, all the stuff with Trump and the spying and the FBI, everybody. You know, Clapper, Brennan, Comey, all of them. He was their boss, Hillary's boss, Joe's boss. It all leads to him.
Because I personally think even with this scandal, that Big Mike could still beat Trump because most of the Democrat voters won't have a clue what's going on here. But I could see where even if you do get in the door, then you're going to have 4 years of scrutiny over this, and you better have the economy going right or else you're done immediately. So
yes,
but
you're right.
The difference is that while Big Mike could beat Trump, even with baggage, there's no way Newsom can beat Trump, is there, without fraud?
No, Newsom, they're going to rig the election anyhow. We haven't done too much to clean it up. So they're going to try like hell to rig that election.
So that must be that's why they're trying their hardest to arrest Trump on something so that they can maybe get Newsom versus someone like Vivek Ramaswamy.
Right. Vivek was pretty smooth. He said, you know, I probably won't win. He said, but I'm going to keep talking.
Oh, he's in second place right now nationwide. He passed DeSantis.
Yeah. Yeah, well, DeSantis, he started embracing people like Karl Rove and all the Never Trumpers and the big donors, and it was, you know, he torpedoed his own candidacy.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, they underestimate Trump supporters at their own peril. Trump supporters are very strong, and they are united. They do talk to each other, and they show up at all his events. And they talk to each other even more when they're there.
See, we talked this over for months, Joanne. It's like I was off the Trump train because he, to this day, still talks good about the gene therapies. And then DeSantis comes in with his Karl Rove and Dick Cheney and hanging out with the Bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And DeSantis had it for a quick second, but as Trump was vilifying his own self, DeSantis just Bud Lighted himself.
Right. Well, you know, Trump was real. Trump's not a doctor, and he did believe them for a while.
Yeah.
And, you know, they said they needed these vaccines, so he made it possible for them to get those vaccines. Which,
yeah, he
under,
didn't know the background behind them. He just said, all
no,
right,
he didn't.
If it helps everybody, let's do it, not knowing what what everybody... Yeah.
But you also remember he talked about the hydrochloroquine and the ivermectin and the other drugs,
yes,
too. And that's when they decided to make those almost impossible to get. That wasn't him either. He even told everybody to try the hydrochloroquine and that he had done it. Remember when he was in the hospital, he said the hydrochloroquine saved his life. So I think he thought he was doing good. Now he knows it wasn't, but he's not going to... He can't say, I'm sorry. But had it been a very effective vaccine, had that been legit, it would have been a good thing. So I can see where that came from. I'm not justifying it, and he should drop it. But I can see how he got snookered, too. Just like they try to snooker this judge today.
Yeah, I can't believe that they thought, well, then again, that's Democrats for you.
Yeah, so, you know, if they're willing to go this far and they're willing to lie and steal and cheat and everything else, what makes everybody think they're not going to try to rig this election? They already succeeded in it twice.
So, do you think that they're going to try and do something to this judge?
Oh, yeah, they're already all over her. All over her. And they're not even bringing up about the debauchery and the lying and the sneaking, you know, these little things into the deal, hoping the judge wouldn't see it. They're saying, oh, she's a Trump-appointed judge. So it's all her fault. Hunter Biden's a dirtbag, but it's the judge's fault for catching them in their lies and
yeah.
their deceit. Yeah, she's the bad guy because she caught on. Her whole career's on the line, too. You know, she wants to be a judge for a while. And
yeah.
Biden's not going to be president forever. You know, her life's going to go on. So she's trying to do the right thing here. And she's not being partisan at all. You know, she told off the prosecution. She told off the defense. She's got all their number. She's very sharp. Very, very sharp. She read every word of their briefs. So now she's continued
yeah.
it until September.
But that just goes without saying. You do something to the judge, I don't care what side you're on. You falsify documents, and you impersonate people. And what did they try to say? It was an accident? They didn't mean to do it?
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't mean that. They didn't misrepresent themselves.
Oh.
Yeah, they're sticking with the lie. Then that's what they'll do. They have to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was we didn't misrepresent anything. Yeah, you did. And the judge knows you did. And everybody else knows you did. But they won't admit it.
You can't even
get a contempt
of court for that, Joanne?
What? I didn't hear you.
You can't even get a contempt of court for that?
Oh, yeah, you can get disbarred for that. You can get contempt of court. You can get obstruction, interfering in court proceedings. Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of things you can be charged with.
But let me ask you this, too, then. If they're willing to do this, and then we saw what happened in Miami with Jack Smith and everybody down there, doesn't that hurt their chances for trying to go after Trump because there's a trail? Or is every case separate?
They're all intertwined in one way or another, but they're being treated separately. You know, they're judge shopping, they're jury shopping, they're doing all kinds of
yeah.
stuff and manipulating media. They're trying to poison the jury pool with lies. You know, that they run stories in places like Miami that's not being run all over the country. They want to try to poison the jury pool down there. Now, this Jack Smith, boy, he's a piece of work. He's turning up everywhere. And he's a loser. He doesn't win his cases. He's just a royal
no.
pain in the ass. Yeah, he goes and he files, like, lawsuits and charges and charges and charges and briefs and, you know, and he never wins, but he makes a pain in the ass of himself.
And that's what
so
he gets paid
just
to do.
Right, it's just a kind of headlines. Oh, yeah, Trump was indicted. Trump was indicted on bogus charges, and it's unconstitutional. There's no precedent for it. He knows that he's going to lose in the presidential records. In those confidential records. He knows he's going to lose, but he's still being a pain in the ass doing it. He's filing charges and charges all over the country. People know it's persecution. People know eventually, you know, you have to come to a decision. If you bring in charges, eventually there's a jury, there's a decision. And he lost. He lost against the governor in Virginia. He lost most of his cases. But that's what he's designed to do. He's not trying to win cases. He's trying to make headlines.
Well, and he's trying also trying to make sure people have opportunity to get threatened before they go to court, because if they're threatened, maybe they'll drop the case, or maybe they'll just plead guilty.
Right. Oh, yeah. He persecutes people. He intimidates them, coerces them, strong-arms them, strong-arms everybody around him. Yeah, he's a fixer. So he just goes in and just, you know, starts breaking things and bringing charges and threatening people, and then he gets reprimanded and he loses his case, but he didn't really lose. He won. He won in the headlines, and he damaged the person that he was trying to damage. You know, these cases, one after another against Trump, people are starting to believe, hey, you know, there's got to be something up with this. He keeps getting charged with things. But everything he got charged with fell apart. He didn't do it. It was always a hoax. It was always baloney. It was always lies. And it was only designed to try to hurt Trump, because they don't like Trump. Trump is an outsider.
Well, not just an outsider, but Trump doesn't let them do what they want to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, Trump knows he's the boss, and he acts like the boss, and they don't like it. They think they're the boss. This machine thinks it runs on itself, and it really does, usually. You know, the president gets to smile and wave and sign things. He's not really doing anything. The machine is doing it all. So, you know, they think that they're more powerful than anyone. And combined, you know, only somebody like Trump could stop them. No one else is going to step up to this like that. They'll kill him. And Trump's doing an amazing job of staying alive. But they just go, and it's the most stupid things they try to get him for. He made a phone call with Zelensky. He asked about corruption, and they impeached him for it. And now the guy who he was asking about is president and is trying to persecute him. In all of this, they don't like Trump, and plus it's payback for sticking his nose in their business and trying to do something about them and getting in their way and acting like the boss and controlling the military and controlling the agencies, which is actually his job as president. But they didn't like it. They didn't like law and order, and they didn't like a new way of doing things, and they didn't like all the oversight, and they didn't like being told no, and they didn't like that he fired all their cronies. They didn't like that he fired Comey. They didn't like that he fired Clapper, Brennan, none of that. And this is all paybacks. They hate him. And then he's got those powerful people out of office, like the Bushes, like the Clintons, and they hate him too. And then you got the people at the New York Times and the Washington Post and, you know, CBS, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, all of them, they hate him. You know, so collectively they have a hell of a machine going after this guy. You know, they got all their markers in place. The people are now starting to not believe them. But it took an awful lot of us going on these social medias and, you know, trying to get people's attention. And then with that vaccine, and people just started dying all over the place, and they put, you know, they locked everybody down, and you couldn't go to people's funerals and couldn't stay with somebody in the hospital. And then it turns out all of it was poison and it was bad. And, you know, everybody started asking questions. They put masks on babies.
Oh, I know.
For a lie. For a lie. They kept kids out of school for a lie. You know, I saw this thing. today, speaking of that. And it says, you know, now you understand. If tyranny comes, you know how you act. Just how you acted during that, that's how you're going to act. So, you know, unless you change. It says, when you look back in hindsight, you'll find that many of us free-thinking conspiracy theories passed a series of tests that have hardened our resolve beyond belief. We saw the horror of groupthink displayed in the most despicable way possible, yet stood our ground. They tried to cancel us, fire us, and shame us. And what happened after COVID? The Ukrainian war reared its ugly head, and we needed zero public figures to agree with us. We saw past the facade instantaneously. We had become untamable. We apologized for nothing and needed no one's approval to search for the truth. Every test the enemy has put us through has only made us more of a force to be reckoned with. Pandora's box has been opened and no one can shut it, even if they tried. But then it says how you acted in 2020, 2021, and 2022 is how you would act under complete tyranny. If you've ever wondered if you have the balls of steel, now you know.
Well,
that touched me when I read that.
That's
but yeah, we were tested. We were tested, all right. And
I ain't never scared.
Nope, you never strayed. You stood strong. A lot of us did. And they really did. They came after us. They tried to shame us. You know, people telling us we had to put masks on and, you know, you have to get this shot. I saw Ice Cube with Tucker Carlson.
Yes,
that was
so
pretty
I played
good,
that
too.
Yesterday.
Yeah, he gave up a $9 million Hollywood contract. He was supposed to star in a movie with Jack Black.
Yeah.
And he turned it down because they were mandating he get that shot, and he said no. But he explained it, you know. If you played it, you know. He explained why. He just said, you know, I never told anybody not to get vaccinated. I said I wanted to stay me. It was too new, and I didn't trust it. So I didn't do it. So, but they all, they went after him hard, too, I guess. And then he asked Tucker if Tucker had been vaccinated, and Tucker said no. So, I thought everybody at Fox was vaccinated. I guess not.
Yeah, I didn't hear if Sean Hannity is vaccinated or not. I was trying to hear that on the RFK thing yesterday, but I didn't hear one way or the other.
Yeah, I don't think he actually answered that question. But RFK Jr. blames the loss of his voice, the freezing of his vocal cords on a flu vaccine.
Yeah.
And all the other ingredients he's been studying. And, you know, they said that he had said it was ethnic specified, you know, like, and some of these tests are. Even when we did our own research, the research that they took off of Facebook, I had mentioned that people with type A blood were more susceptible to injury from COVID and from the vaccine. So that sounds pretty specific. And it's true. Type A had the worst outcomes. B had second worst. O did pretty good. So, you know, and now I read a thing about the lot numbers. In the beginning, there was poison lots that they knew was causing serious heart problems, but they sold them anyhow. They thought it was worth the risk. Not even one injury is worth the risk.
So, Joanne, can I... Would you be open to me playing the RFK versus Hannity clip?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody should hear it because the guy made sense, too.
It's 11 minutes.
Well,
so I'm going to play it.
Minutes. All right, go right ahead.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. took part in a 2024 town hall with Fox News and clashed with moderator Sean Hannity over the West's role in provoking the war in Ukraine. Let's watch.
In 2019, France, Germany, and Russia all agreed to the Minsk Accords. That year, Zelensky ran for president. He was a comedian. He had no political experience. Why did he win? Because he ran on one issue, signing the Minsk Accords. As soon as he got in there, Victoria Nuland in the White House told him he couldn't do it. Then Putin sends 40,000 troops in. That's not enough to conquer the country. Clearly, he wanted us to come to the negotiation. He wanted somebody to come to the negotiating table. Zelensky came to the negotiating table, signed a new agreement that was the Minsk Accords II in 2022, and that would have allowed Donbass to stay and Lugansk to stay to remain as part of Ukraine. We said Putin signed it, Zelensky initialed it, and Putin in good faith began withdrawing troops from the Ukraine. What happened? We sent Boris Johnson over there to torpedo it because we don't want peace with, we want the war with Russia.
Yeah, so there is RFK Jr., you know, talking about the mistakes that were made by U.S. foreign policy that helped get us to this point. And I've heard him, you know, talk about this before. It is not to acquit Russia of wrongdoing or to condone the invasion, he says very clearly, and, you know, others who are skeptical of the continued funding of this war effort, such as myself, will say that Russia is absolutely at fault for sending in troops. That was an escalation of hostilities that has led to needless suffering and death. But you can still critique the diplomatic choices of the U.S. and our Western partners that helped get us to this point. And the reality is that we have mismanaged the, you know, post-Cold War relationship with Russia, what should have been friendly outreach and closer ties became militarism and standoffishness and trying to isolate them vis-a-vis the expansion of NATO. And now here we are. And yes, right, Zelensky was elected with a mandate to resolve this, to, you know, to not go in a more aggressive direction. And the West totally got in the way of that.
Yeah, I think it's so bad how the tweets and the taking out of context from RFK Jr. is going following this town hall. Here's a Fox News audience erupting in applause at RFK Jr. claiming Putin acted in, quote, good faith, but was forced to invade Ukraine because, quote, the U.S. wants war with Russia. It's really interesting because there are going to be so many liberals who are like, so Putin acted in good faith by invading Ukraine? What is this RFK Jr. guy saying? That's how this always goes, the taking things out of context. I think his criticism of U.S. foreign policy in that context was fair, and it was coming from the perspective of how do we avoid conflict? Like, what's in the interest of the least loss of human lives? And let's also understand the diplomatic priorities of both Ukraine and Russia and what they're going to be fighting for here. U.S. intervention abroad, I think, is something that the American populace has become so critical of. They see the billions of dollars that we spend, how our military budget dwarfs every other country. They see the lack of resources going towards investment in our infrastructure. That makes people very upset. The forever wars debate is something that's becoming increasingly bipartisan in our favor of isolationist foreign policy. Does American intervention make a situation that's hostile, like the situation between Russia and Ukraine, do we make it better or worse by intervening there militarily? Right. Overwhelmingly worse. Yet you had so many people at the beginning of the invasion calling for the U.S. instating a no-fly zone. And I think that might be a lack of understanding of what that means on behalf of many Americans, right? It sounds very nice. We put this magical bubble over, no planes can fly through. That's not how it goes. We would have to send troops there. We would have to have military technology on the ground necessary to shoot down planes. This would be an active involvement in the Russian war in Ukraine and the Russian invasion, the U.S. intervening on behalf of Ukraine. Now, world war is going to break out. That's really what they were asking for by asking for a no-fly zone. I think people like RFK Jr. because he's isolationist. He's not saying Putin's a good guy here.
Right. And he's definitely not. But as you point out, it clearly doesn't serve our interests. Even if we're just thinking it, you know,
right,
what is best for the U.S., it's not best for the U.S. to have World War III with Russia.
No.
Or to have a conflict. Right. No, we don't want this. And we have to evaluate the steps that neoconservatives in both the Republican and Democratic Party and just, you know, the the State Department, the federal bureaucracy that's always there, regardless of who's in charge, helped get us to this point. Consciously made choices. Victoria Nuland type people made choices that got us to this place. Mm-hmm. Now, Kennedy also spoke with Sean Hannity defending his recent comments on COVID-19 and race. Let's watch that.
And I was describing a 2021 study that was funded by NIH, that was performed by a half a dozen at least scientists, the three lead scientists from Cleveland Clinic. And that study showed that the docking site for the on the Furin cleave of the COVID virus was particularly compatible with certain races. And it doesn't mean that those races disproportionately died, but chiefly with African, with people of African descent,
right,
next of Caucasians, least of all people from Finland, and people and certain Germanic races, and ethnic Chinese were also the least or less susceptible, and Ashkenazi Jews.
All right.
There was no suggestion ever that somebody designed it to be that way, that it was designed to preserve certain races. I was not suggesting that.
Right.
Pretty clear.
I feel like he's clarified it in his own comments. He clarified it when he was sitting right here in the interview we did. I have clarified it based on what he said. He did not say that COVID-19 was bioengineered to spare Jewish people or Chinese people. He said there is some evidence, you can say that it's not persuasive, but it does exist, this study and other evidence, that COVID has a disproportionate impact, racial impact, and given that that is the case, if that is the case, it would be theoretically possible to design a virus in the future, like COVID-19, that could disproportionately impact different races. Now, when I spoke with him, I pointed out that there are disproportionate impacts of COVID on races that don't actually have to do with the genetic composition of the virus, but just mm-hmm. the fact that people of different races in different countries have different access to medical resources, have different health profiles, have different, average age in that subpopulation, all sorts of things that will have an even greater impact mm-hmm. on how prone you were or how bad a time you had with COVID. So I'm not like persuaded that we were like that. The receptor that is apparently absent, according to that study, for Ashkenazi Jews, that might not matter at all, or as much as whatever factors having to do with if that population is disproportionately well off, or disproportionately lives in cities, or disproportionately, like, there'd be all sorts of different reasons where it could have a higher or lesser impact. And he agreed with that. So it's really just the whole mainstream media talking point that he said this deeply anti-Semitic thing is just a gross mischaracterization of what he said.
Right. And it is true what he's saying. He's saying what is represented in the data about how COVID-19 impacts race. He's not saying, as he has clarified many times, that the virus was intentionally designed to target these
right.
races. It's important to note that even if a lab leak theory ends up being true, that we find evidence that COVID-19 did originate, in a lab where they were doing research on SARS, it's still the case that it's unlikely they were developing a bioweapon and that they were just doing research
yeah.
on SARS and
it's
had
unlikely.
No idea what the impact would be on race, especially because what you noted about socioeconomic factors likely being the result of the virus disproportionately affecting, for example, African Americans in the United States. It's been demonstrated that African Americans in the United States overwhelmingly are from, lower income communities,
right.
live in areas where there's less access to health care, less access to doctors, and that is a reason why that community would be disproportionately affected, not because it's a bioweapon
right.
designed to affect, their genetics more than another, ethnic group.
Right. Well, later RFK Jr. also weighed in on President Joe Biden's cognitive state.
Do you believe that he is physically, mentally, cognitively strong enough to lead our country? This world is a dangerous place. Robert Kennedy Jr., you know that this is a dangerous place. Is he cognitively strong enough to be your president?
Well, he's never been very good with words.
Very diplomatic.
Yeah, RFK Jr. does not tend to, you know, he's a cordial person. He tends not to bash Biden or Trump in very personal terms. He's really, you know, he said that he likes Joe Biden as a human being, that they've had a, you know, a warm relationship, but that he just doesn't like Joe Biden and Donald Trump's policies, and then explains why. And I really think there's something elevating of the discourse of keeping it, you know, at that level. So good for him, I say.
Yeah, it's very well said. He's not so good with words, but saying a lot with very few words. RFK Jr. is good with words. More Rising after this.
All right, so your thoughts on how the Hill discussed that?
Well, you know, about this Ukraine thing, the only thing RFK and Hannity would not touch was where it all originated. This all started with Soros' color revolution. He overthrew Ukraine, you know, with his money and his people. And then the people wised up, so they hired that other guy, Poroshenko. So then Soros, again, with the help of Obama, overthrew Ukraine. Now, there's been deals made with Putin throughout the years. You know, they said NATO would never expand, and, you know, he'd said, as long as you stay away from my borders. But they provoked him, and they kept expanding NATO. Then he finds out that they have biolabs 30 miles from his border, and they're working on things like COVID and bioweapons. And he said, get those labs out of here. And they said, no, we don't have any labs. He said, yes, you do. He showed them the evidence. And they really did have labs. Because when Putin first went in and started blowing up the labs, they were all pissed off because he was blowing up the labs that they said they didn't have. You know, like the FEMA camps that don't exist. Well,
yes.
Yeah, that's what happened. And the energy industry, he had treaties and deals, but they broke those. So Putin has been provoked and provoked and provoked. And then when they threatened his economy, he went and took Crimea back. And you notice Obama didn't do a damn thing. They just let him have Crimea. And that had ports because they were trying to landlock Putin. But Crimea has ports, it has gas lines, it has a connection to Europe, and Putin wanted it. Putin was supposed to have access to it. Just, you know, they guaranteed him access to all of that, and then they started taking it away from him. And Putin, like RFK Jr. just said, he sent 40,000 troops. That's not enough to overthrow a country. It's enough to get noticed. He wanted to talk to somebody. He wanted to show some force, like, you know, I'm sick of your shit. But that didn't work. In the meantime, the military-industrial complex here and global, with the help of NATO, you know, the European allies, all of that, they want war because everybody's economy's in the toilet. And what brings economies out of the toilet is war. You know, they have a bad period, but then everybody goes to work. They have to build munitions plants, and they have to build energy plants, and they have to, you know, get back on their feet. And all the artillery and stuff they expend in war, they have to replace. So that means money, and that keeps economies going, and that's what's going on. Putin just wants to run his economy. He has treaties that were violated, and he has been provoked. I'm not sticking up for Putin by any means. Please don't think so. I'm just trying to put the truth out there. That's really what happened. No, it doesn't matter if you like Putin or you don't. That's what happened. So Putin is reacting to decades of provocation from the West. And RFK knows that. And that's what he was talking about. So he was absolutely right. I was actually intrigued I watched that interview twice, both times that it was on. I stayed up late so I could see it again. And I disagree with RFK Jr. a lot. There's a lot of things he's a flaming liberal about. But in this case, the man is right. And I was kind of impressed that he was an old school Democrat. You know, he even said it. The Democrats used to be for the working man. Now they're for the millionaires and billionaires. They used to be, you know, they used to fight the man. Now they're demanding everybody obey the man. That's not where they belong. So they've gone so far left that they're unrecognizable to him. And through him, it will pull them back a little more towards the middle, especially because he's making sense. His voice is a little hard to get over, but once you accustom to it, it makes it easier to understand him. But you got to listen to him for a minute to get used to the voice. And he said that was a vaccine injury. And I believe it. I know someone else who had a vaccine injury that froze their vocal cords. The man made a lot of sense. And about the vaccines, too. Yeah, it can. I mean, you can isolate genes. Everybody's DNA is different. When you take your bone marrow, when you donate bone marrow to see if you're a match for somebody, most of the times, if there is a match, and it's very rare. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine just was a perfect match for somebody in Italy. She had to go to New York to donate the marrow. But ethnicity counts. Gender counts. The way that your DNA is built counts when you're looking for a match. So if you know this about bone marrow, you can design drugs and viruses to affect those specific markers in people's DNA. It's not unheard of. You know, you have to think pretty big, and you have to know a little bit about science and biology. But once you realize that, yes, there are ways to design specific chemicals, specific viruses, and medicines to personally match people's DNA. As a matter of fact, these cancer institutes, they're telling you now that they can do chemotherapy according to your DNA, what works best with your particular. They do gene therapies that matches your genes. So if they can isolate genes, they can isolate viruses. And they can make viruses to attack specific genes or have, you know, a more amplified effect on certain markers. So that's possible. Don't rule it out because, you know, and African Americans, they do have like the sickle cell anemia, and you know, it's not exclusive to blacks, but it's predominantly blacks. And black people have a higher incidence of diabetes. So the comorbidities would add to the outcome. You know, that those would definitely have an effect on the outcome. And that could be intentional. You know, and when even our own research found out that type A blood had the least positive results in getting over, you know, surviving and thriving after COVID. You know, if you look at the deaths, most of the people that actually died from COVID, not with COVID, but from COVID, they had all these comorbidities, but a lot of them, a larger number of them were type A blood. They had the least positive outcomes. With B second and O, of course, last. O had the better outcome.
Yeah, my blood, just in case you're wondering, I'm A plus.
Jeez. I'm O positive. I never got COVID.
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, I never got it.
But then again, one of the symptoms was having no symptoms.
That's a scam by itself.
Oh, I know it is.
Yeah, you're not testing positive. And those tests, I wouldn't take those tests anyhow. How do you know they're picking up a sample and not dropping one off? Yeah, I wouldn't trust anything about them. But, yeah, you test a negative and you have no symptoms. And that's a symptom. That's just a scam by itself. You know, why don't you tell me I had polio? I got no symptoms, and I'm not testing positive for polio, but I got polio. That's ridiculous. Or any other disease.
Yeah, or all these trans people that believe that they have stage 5 ovarian cancer.
That's a mental illness.
Yeah, but if they go into a doctor and say, I have late stage terminal ovarian cancer, you need to help me.
Yeah.
What do they do?
I would first recommend them to a shrink. Because
yeah, but not
if
in this
you
day and
have...
age, you'll be considered homophobic.
Well, I think to get chemotherapy, you'd have to justify it. I don't think they're just going to say, oh, well, they told me they had cancer, so I treated it. No, you got to prove you have cancer. They have tests for that. You don't just walk in and say, I got cancer, an ovarian cancer. Well, do you have ovaries?
They would need ovaries, but they wouldn't have to prove that they have ovaries. They just have to believe they have ovaries.
Yeah, well, believing you have ovaries and actually proving it is two different things. No cancer institute is going to treat your ovarian cancer if you don't have ovaries. They may treat you for prostate cancer.
I want to see that lawsuit actually happen. I wish I knew
a tranny that
would be willing to do that.
Yeah, this I got to see. They'll probably put that in the Inquirer because that's where it would belong.
The World Weekly News.
Put it
News.
In the Babylon Bee. Yeah, put it on the
yeah.
Bee. Yeah. Yeah, no, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't treat ovarian cancer if somebody who was a trans female. You'd have to explain to the trans female, yes, you know, you feel like you're a woman, but you can't just have imaginary diseases. We don't treat those. Here's some fairy dust. Go home, you'll be fine. Have a Bud Light. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bud Light cures it. You'll be fine.
Yeah, go listen to some Jason Aldean.
Yeah. No, that'll burst into flames. I don't know why you can sing rap songs about killing cops and stuff, but you can't show actual news reels in your video and sing about, you know, small town values. Small towns really do have values. The people do stick together. They're neighborly. It's a community. You know, they have potluck breakfast at the church together. They don't go burning things down.
If he sang about being one of those people, then that would have been fine.
Yeah.
So if he would have sang about going to a small town and shooting people up, that nobody would have had a problem with that.
Right. You're right.
Unless it was a rapper. If it was a black rapper, he would be legit on everything.
Right. You know, well, we got to start singing about small town values and big city values, neighborhood values. You know, I grew up in this city, and it was still, a small section of the city. And it was a community, and everybody knew each other, and everybody looked out for each other. And we didn't lock our doors at night. We didn't have to. Nobody was coming in except the people who lived there. And that was in the city of Boston, in a little section called Hyde Park in the city of Boston. Even when I was really young, I lived in a section called Dorchester, which was a little more populated. And it was still safe. You could walk down the street. Everybody knew everybody. The old ladies sitting out on the porch visiting each other or walking to the store. If you saw a little old lady carrying a shopping bag, you took it out of her hand and you walked her home with it. And if you didn't, you'd have gotten trouble from your mother. You let that old lady walk home carrying that bundle and you just walked by her. No, you didn't. go apologize and don't ever do it again. You know, I mean, that is small town values. And if anybody came into the neighborhood to do damage, the neighbors would come out before the cops were ever even called. It would be straightened out. You know, the cops come after the fact anyhow. They write the report. But they're not standing there usually when the event takes place. We just grew up in different times, I guess, because, you know, and that stuff never happens around me. I just can't imagine. We did have a Black Lives rally, a Black Lives Matter rally that took place here. And they didn't burn or break anything. These kids were stupid. They were all, you know, going along with it, and they were feeling the compassion, and, you know, they were believing that there was all this racism out there, and the black people were in trouble, and cops were just taking out black people for no reason. That's the stuff that was being pimped into their heads. But once they realized that really wasn't going on, and that they were lied to and duped, and one of them is even Jewish, and when they found out that those people don't like Jewish people, that kind of all fell apart. You know, here they were sticking up for these poor, oppressed people, and then they got discriminated against themselves. So that didn't work out. The only people who benefited from Black Lives Matter were about six people who bought mansions, and George Soros got paid back, and they got a lot of money. But yeah, all they did was destroy everything they encountered, every store, every building, every person, every police car, just private people's cars on the streets, everything got destroyed. And they didn't use those millions of dollars they got, $1 billion, however much money they collected. They didn't do it to rebuild the neighborhoods. They didn't pay someone's rent or send a kid to college or give anyone a job. No, they left those burnt out shells in their wake and never looked back. So now the people in those communities, they don't have a community anymore. Everything's burnt out. They don't have any stores. They don't have any place to get their tires changed. You know, you can't go up to the corner deli. Those are all burnt. They're gone. So what favor did they do? They didn't do anyone a favor. All they did was cause more problems. And they knew that was going to happen. As a matter of fact, Joe Biden was trying to rally them the other day. Did you hear his speech?
No, I must not have.
He was doing a little campaign speech, and he was talking about how, you know, the white supremacists and, you know, how black people are all oppressed. He was trying to incite violence. What he's doing is trying to rally up the professional rioters.
Yeah.
So I just said, watch for everything, because this guy just gave the go-ahead signal. So the next incident, the next police shooting or barroom fight or something, they're going to blow it up to be some big racial thing, and they're going to call out all the Soros organizations, the BLMs and the Antifas, and going to burn down another black neighborhood.
See, I didn't think they were really trying to protect Brandon anymore. I thought they were going to wait on that, but I could be wrong.
Well, he was trying to rally them up.
Hmm. He must think everybody still has his back.
Yeah. That's what he was doing. He was really trying to rile the black people up and trying to tell them that they're in danger from white people and the white supremacists. And, you know, he was spreading his race hate and inciting violence. And, you know, like I said, I just posted that, you know, Biden's on TV right now inciting race hate and violence. That must be the go-ahead signal to rally up the riot organization.
Well, they should have asked Ice Cube.
Ice Cube don't want to riot. Ice Cube wants us all to get along. The guy is raising children, you know. He wants them to live in a peaceful
life. That's why I'm saying, who are we going to believe that we're in a race crisis, Ice Cube or Brandon?
Yeah. There's no race crisis. You know, you look out your door, everybody's getting along just fine. Black people are thriving. You know, white people are thriving. Everybody's in the same community. We're all in the same boat. No one's going anywhere. You think black people are going anywhere? White people going anywhere? No, we're all staying. We're all American. And we better start acting like it. But people are getting along just fine. I see people all day of all races. And everybody's smiling and nice and talking to each other and, you know, holding the door for each other. And it's not the world that they are. Yeah. Yeah, everybody's hanging around just fine.
Okay.
You know, there's interracial marriages, there's mixed children now. There's so many mixed children. I mean, what do you want them to do, pick a side? You love your mother, you love your father. You know, please. They're just trying to separate us because united, we will go against them.
Yeah.
You know, if we all start hanging out together and talking honestly with each other, then it would be a different world, that's for sure. And we wouldn't be getting screwed. We wouldn't be getting misled. And all this propaganda, people would be able to see right through it. You know, they do it with such ease now. And you'll notice that every one of these people will say the exact same thing, the exact same words. You know, you had said this before. It's like they get a talking point first thing in the morning. Everybody gets the memo. And they use those same words all day. Every network. They don't even change the wording. And I'm tired of guns being called assault weapons, too. There's no such thing as an assault weapon. You know, you could train to turn it around and say it's a defensive weapon. Because guns can be used for defense, too. The problem is the person. You know, if somebody's violent, they'll use whatever weapon is available to them. And if somebody's not violent, you can put all your weapons in front of them and you don't have to be afraid of them.
Right.
You know, I know people with hundreds of guns. They have gun collections. They have antique guns and modern guns and all of that. Never shot anybody in their life and have no intention on it. You know, the guns don't just get up and shoot people. And
right.
They're always talking about AR-15s. They got to be taken away from people. Most of these shootings are done with handguns. So why are they always on the long guns?
Because it looks scary and people that don't have guns don't understand.
Hmm. You know, you can take a regular shotgun with the wooden handle.
Yeah.
And that won't scare people, but you take that same caliber rifle and you just decorate it a little and now it's scary. It doesn't change the function of the gun at all.
No.
You know, you put a bullet in it, it's going to shoot the bullet. That's what guns are designed to do. It doesn't matter if it's got a scope on it or, you know, it's painted black or none of that matters. It's still going to shoot a bullet. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't have all those bells and whistles on it either. It's still going to shoot. We had a marksman class at our school. People used to come to school with guns all the time. No one got shot. They used to win trophies.
Hmm.
You know, and it used to be pretty good on your resume if you were going to join the military, if you were in the marksman class, too. You got better assignments in the military if you could shoot well. Now, oh my God, guns are so scary. So what are you going to do if the Russians invade Rhode Island and you gave up your guns?
You'll just call them racist, and then they'll just stop what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. They'll just get all ashamed of themselves, and they'll just turn around and leave, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess they got a lot of that fairy dust for everybody, because that would be stupid. And this government, you can see that this government has absolutely turned against the people. So The Constitution was written so the people would have equal firepower to the military. So actually, if you wanted a tank, you should probably be able to get one, according to the Constitution. That has morphed into, now you got a pea shooter. You think that this government is afraid of an AR-15? When, like Joe Biden said, they got F-15s. Your AR-15 isn't going to make a hill of beans to the government. It would make a difference to ground troops that were trying to invade the country.
Yeah.
But if your government wanted to turn against you, they could just drop an EMP on you and you wouldn't be able to find your way out of the dock. By the time the sun come up, they'd have you all disarmed. You know, they have things like MRAPs and tanks. And you're worried about your little Glock. Get out of here. Doesn't make any sense at all. And as far as people getting shot up in these mass shootings, maybe if a couple other people had guns, that would have straightened out the situation. It would have stopped the carnage. When you're waiting for the cops and the cops take 10 minutes, you could shoot a lot of people in 10 minutes. You shoot a lot of people in 2 minutes. So maybe if somebody else on the scene has a gun, you could probably stop that carnage. You know, instead of giving up your guns, how about you pick up the guns and start defending the children? That would make more sense. Somebody comes in to shoot up the school, and the adults in the school turn around and shoot the shooter, the children will be safe. But instead, we're going to, what, call the cops and hide the children? How are you going to hide the children in a school? I told my kids, if there's a shooter in that school, get out of the school. All our schools are all one level. So I told my kids, go out the window and hug the building until you get to a clearing and then run like hell. And they said, why hug the building? I said, because if a shooter's looking out the window, they're not looking straight down. They're looking out into the yard so they can shoot you out the window. But you have a better chance of running, hug the building and run like hell. But I don't care what the teacher says. Stay here and you know, hide behind your desk. No, get out of there and take as many of those kids with you as you can get them out. Don't just stay there and be a sitting duck. We haven't had that, you know, we haven't had to use that. But my kids are not going to be staying in any school that's getting shot up. If they're shooting up inside the school, they're not looking outside. And if they're looking outside, they're looking further out into the yard, hug the building. And the same thing if you're in a wide open area, like if you're in downtown Manhattan. Don't walk in the middle of the street. Don't walk in the middle of the sidewalk. Hug the building, because if you've got to duck into a doorway, you can. But if you're not up against the building, everybody who is up against the building is going to get there first and block that doorway. You're not going to be able to get in. Always have situational awareness. Even in a theater, don't sit in the center of the theater. If somebody's coming in and shooting, they're just shooting up, you know, randomly. They're going to shoot towards the middle. Sit towards the wall so you can get out of there. At least that's my advice. You got to have situation awareness anywhere you are, even if you're in a restaurant. Make sure you can see the whole dining room. Make sure you can see the door.
Yeah, I've always had a problem. Maybe it's because I'm an Italian Jewish kid from Long Island, but I can't sit with my back to a window.
No. No, because, you know, you can't see what's going on behind you. Absolutely not. You got to see what you got to be able to see out the window. You got to be able to see the entire dining room. You got to be able to see the door. And if you can't do all those three things, don't eat there. Because then you're a sitting duck.
Yeah.
And if you design a restaurant right, you'll design it so that there's places that people can hide should there be an incident. But Yeah, people have to be aware of their surroundings. This is a brutal world out there. Never take your eyes off your children. Keep your head on a swivel. And, you know, small towns are safer. Things do happen in small towns. Bad things do happen. But less frequency, as they do in really populated areas, congested areas. And, you know, in most of these downtown cities now, there isn't a lot of wealthy people left. There isn't anybody who could get out did get out. So what you have left is those who couldn't get out. And it's a man-eat-man world out there. You see what's going on in New York, in the subways, in the streets, in the stores. People are locking up ice cream and frozen foods because things are getting stolen. You know, America used to be a place, there was always foods and fruits and everything all out anywhere, everywhere you look in a supermarket or a store. You could walk in, you could open the door in the freezer, get whatever you need, go to the register, pay for it. You know, people are just walking out the door with items now. Stealing is not okay. But they're making it okay. Why would that be? Why would that be?
Well, we destigmatized stealing, I guess.
Yeah, well, what's the end game? What's it going to lead to? If, you know, you're not prosecuting people, you're not arresting people, it's just allowing these people to steal whatever they want. Your employees get fired if they try to intervene.
Yeah, like that lady at the Lowe's. They gave her job back because so many people called and complained.
They did?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, she took a punch. She took a hard punch right in the face. All she did was put her hand on that shopping cart and try to stop that chick from walking out the door with all those power tools. And she got blasted for it, and then she lost her job. How long has she been there? What, 13 years or 30 years or something?
I know it was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. And she was an exemplary employee. And then you fire her for trying to protect your investment. And they say, oh, it's okay. They have insurance. Well, now insurance companies are going bankrupt. And they're refusing payoffs. You know, if your store gets robbed once, they'll pay off. You know, they'll pay the damages. But you get robbed more than that, you didn't take precautions. Why would they insure you? And if your employees are getting fired for trying to stop the thievery, why should we cover you? You know, insurance companies are getting smart. Why would they cover you? Why would, you know?
Yeah, you didn't even make an attempt to keep your place peaceful. So you're
right.
Not going to, yeah.
All right, here in Florida, we have hurricanes. But you have to be able to prove to the insurance company that you took steps to try to secure your property, like you boarded up the windows or something. Because if you just say the hell with it, let it happen, and walk away, they're not going to cover you. You've got to have pictures that you boarded up the windows, or you have, you know, receipts that you bought shutters and things like that. And so, of course, they're going to do that with, you know, commercial merchandise. But I wouldn't insure you if you didn't take any steps to do your own security. But you get sued from the people that are robbing you if they get hurt. Some guy got tackled coming out of a store. He got tackled by one of the employees. And the guy that got tackled, the thief, sued the company because he injured his back or something when he got tackled.
Yeah.
I don't know if even opening a store is a good idea anymore.
Well, don't forget, New York City paid out, what, $13 million to Antifa for
for them having their fifis hurt with the police.
Hmm.
That was last week.
Tell me about that.
I don't remember the exact story. I don't have it up anymore, but some of the police accosted Antifa members for destroying property, and they sued, and they settled out of court for $13
million. Oh, I did hear that. I did hear that. Crime pays, huh?
Yeah, well, especially with no cash bail, then Antifa didn't lose.
What's the sense of even being a cop now in places like that?
Well, that's why they're letting everybody out, so they can have chaos, and then they'll have the New World Order come in, and everybody will beg for people to put the law and order down. And, well, we don't need a constitution. We need safety.
Yep. Funny how that's always the solution to everything.
It's communism.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the solution. Climate change. It's always your fault, and the solution is the global government and communism. Same thing with crime. It's your fault, and the only solution is to have the global government come in and restore law and order.
Yeah, or you know, there's gonna come a time. Shut down. The Netherlands can shut down half their farms in 1 year, and then when the food production is cut in half, they don't talk about the 50% of the farms that they ordered shut down at gunpoint. They just say it's global warming why we don't have 50% of the food that we used to have.
Right. Yeah, it's global warming. Everything's global warming. That's bullshit, too.
Yeah.
It really is. We are a speck of dust surrounding a ball of fire. We have no control over the climate. None. So our planet goes through cycles. We are orbiting around a ball of fire. That is what causes heat, is the fire from the sun. Sometimes it burns hotter, it has bursts, and sometimes those bursts are more subtle and they settle down and it gets cold. We've had ice ages. We've had periods of ice melting and extreme heat. Actually, our planet is 2 degrees cooler now than it was 100 years ago. You know, it's hot in Las Vegas. It's the desert. It's summer. It's July. It happens. Like 1931 or something, they reached 135 degrees in Las Vegas. So that was a lot hotter than it was last week. But how come we're hotter now? No, we're not. And as far as farming, they want to get rid of us. They think that there's too many of us. You know, we have to service ourselves now. We can't service the elites as they would like to. And it's too crowded, and they don't want to deal with all these people. So they want to get rid of us. They want
to
sterilize us.
Well, the thing is, too, is that the 1%, they can't relate to the 99%. They're all like circus freaks, not, for lack of a better term, I'm sure some are better than others, but they can't relate to a 99%, so they look at it like we're either pets on a positive level, or they look at it like we're just eating their food and we're using their resources.
Right, we're a nuisance to them, and we're using up all their resources. And as far as this global government, who do they think they are that they would have such power over the world? People like Bill Gates, who sees himself as some sort of a god. John Kerry, same thing. Obama, same thing. Charles Schwab, George Soros, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all of them. they think there's some sort of deity that they have control. Like, this is their world, and we're in it, and we're bothering them. Who the hell are these people? Every one of us has the same right to be in this world as they do. Actually, we're using less resources than those people who are complaining about the resources being used.
Yeah, they love their private jets, and they can justify them.
Yeah, they justify them because they are who they are. You know, we're just peasants and peons. They call us useless eaters. So they're going to stop producing food so the people would starve to death. Well, they're not going to starve to death. It's really messed up what these people are macabre. They're demented. They want to sterilize us. They want to abort us. They want to eliminate us. They want to euthanize us. They want to starve us. They want to shift us all around, you know, just move these people into this place and move those people over to this place. Who are these people? How dare they? And we're just letting it happen. Look at this crap going on at the border. Mayorkas was there today at a hearing. And, of course, Jim Jordan was yelling and Gates was telling him off. And Jerry Nadler said, you know, do you have operational control of the border? He said, well, by our definition, yes. That was very telling right there, by our definition. So they get to make up the definition, too. And then they were talking about all these illegals coming over the border, and he's saying, no, they're not. You know why they're not illegals? Because they downloaded an app, and they applied for asylum. Even though they know they're not going to get asylum, they don't qualify, they applied for it. So once they apply for it, they're given a number and allowed to come in. So now they have a temporary legal status, so they're not illegals anymore. They have a legal status. So it's semantics. Yes, they did break into the country, but it doesn't matter how you got here. Now they're suing Texas for putting up those barriers, those
hey, Joanne,
barriers.
Somebody's at my door. Give me a minute.
Okay. Well, anyhow, now Biden administration is suing Texas about those buoys that they have. They put these buoys in the Rio Grande River. So the Justice Department, this was just Monday, they're suing Texas Governor Abbott over this floating barrier on the Rio Grande. And that's the latest aggressive tactic that he's trying to stop the migrants from crossing into the U.S. from Mexico. Anyhow, the lawsuit asked this federal judge in Austin to force Texas to remove a 1,000-foot, I think it's 305-meter line, then they're bright orange, wrecking ball-sized buoys that the Biden administration says raises humanitarian and environmental concerns. I don't know what kind of environmental concerns they could possibly be raising, considering they're all tied together. They're buoys, they float, and they're tethered to stationary posts, so they're not going anywhere, they're not floating the river, and they're not debris. But they're a barrier, and you have to go under them or over them, and it isn't easy to do either. You know, people don't want to be diving under them to go over them. But now Biden's suing them, and it claims that Texas has unlawfully installed the barriers without permission between the border cities of Eagle Pass and Piedras Negras in Mexico.
But like they would even give permission.
Yeah, what? They don't need permission. Texas does have a right to its own state sovereignty. And when the federal government fails to protect the country, the state of Texas and every other state too, but the state of Texas has a right to protect their borders from invasion. And this is absolutely an invasion. You let 6 million people over the border in a year and a half, that's an invasion. That's a lot of people. So, anyhow, they're getting sued, and then they're saying that somebody got hurt on the razor wire fencing, and their asylum seekers are getting hurt. Well, they wouldn't get hurt if they weren't trespassing. You know, you break into a country and you get hurt in the process, and you're going to sue the country for getting hurt? Nobody dragged you here. Nobody purposely hurt these people. They hurt themselves when they were trying to break into the country. Well, it sounds to me like that's a sorry for your luck.
So,
but there,
go ahead.
All right, we do have an immigration policy. We do have immigration laws. The way these people act is like we don't have any immigration laws and never had any. And Mayorkas today try to say, our immigration system is broken. Well, he was talking to Congress people. How come Congress hasn't fixed it if it's so broken? You got all these Democrats saying it was broken. They didn't fix it during Obama when he had a supermajority. He had the House, the Senate, and the presidency. He didn't fix it then. You know, but now it's a crisis. Trump tried to stop it. He was actually being very successful. And that freaked everybody out. That's another reason why they don't want him around, is because they don't have all these drugs coming in. There's a lot of money in drugs, you know. And all this human trafficking. There's a lot of money in slaves. So that's, you know, they didn't want Trump to secure that border, that's for sure, and have people come in the normal way. You know, you apply for the visa, you apply for citizenship, you take the classes, you learn to speak English, you prove that you can be self-sufficient, and welcome home. You want to be American. That's, you know, these people don't even want to be American. They're just here for the benefits. They don't even know what being an American is. They don't know our Constitution, our history, things like that. They just know that Biden's giving away all these freebies and everybody's going to live happily ever after in five-star hotels being fed like kings and queens. Now the hotels are all full. The mayor of New York said, we don't have any more room. You know, now he's making them call every night, all the hotels. If they got any rooms at night, they have to call and say how many rooms they have left, and they're going to get filled with migrants. And people are not cooperating with it. The hotels are trying not to cooperate, but they get into trouble for it. You imagine running a hotel and every day you have to call the government and tell them, oh, I got two rooms that I didn't rent, or I got four rooms I didn't rent. And then they send over a bunch of illegals to come down and rent those rooms. Now, it sounds good, and the money sounds good, until the destruction happens. Like we talked about last week, Massachusetts, they want people to give migrants spare rooms in their homes. And they're willing to pay $125 a day per person. I told everybody I know, don't do it. First of all, you're a traitor to your country. You are part of the problem. If you give the government that authority to put people in your house, you're never going to get them out of your house. They'll get you out of your house before they'll get those illegals out of that house.
Yeah.
And everything in the house is yours. But, you know, all the illegal has to do is say, oh, they were violent towards me. And you'll get thrown out of your house. Then what? Where are you going to live? And these people have all your stuff, your house, and your contents, and you're out in the street until some court resolves it down the road when they get a chance. I would not recommend it. You'll need an eviction order to get them out, and you know there's been a moratorium on evictions, so it's a 5-year waiting list now because they're all backlogged. People are losing their homes left and right. They're going bankrupt because the tenants aren't paying. And then now you got all this excess commercial properties. So they're collapsing the whole housing market and commercial property market. That's already in a free fall. In the cities, so far. Places like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Baltimore, yeah. D.C.,
all the woke cities,
Chicago,
right.
Even Boston. You know, people working from home now, and then you got all the homeless camps out in front of the places. People don't even want to go into the city. So who's going to rent an office in the city when they don't even have to be there?
Yeah.
Plus, all the stores closing because of the robberies. So, you know, the corner market goes out of business. He can't stay in business. He has nothing to sell. Everything gets stolen. So he's got to close up shop. And the little sub shop up the street, you know, you keep robbing him, the guy goes out of business. So he's not going to pay rent at a store. He's out of business. These cities are turning into ghost towns. But the people that turned them that way, like out in San Francisco, they all voted for these policies. They voted for these candidates like Newsom and Kamala Harris and Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and all of them. They all voted for those people. And then they pack up and leave when they got what they wanted. You got to be careful what you wish for because you might get it. Then what? So then they pack up and then they say, oh, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm going to move to Florida. So if you hated the Democrat policies in California, why would you move to Florida and vote Democrat? Stay in California. You know, you got what you wanted. Now you want to take it somewhere else? No, nobody wants it. Can you blame them? I can't. You know, all those people in California that moved to Vegas and moved to Tennessee and all that, they're doing the same things they were doing in California. Nobody needs them. They're parasites when they do that. If you want to leave California because, you know, it got too bad, realize what happened and don't do it when you get to your new place. You know, don't even vote for a couple of years would be my advice. I'm not telling people not to vote, but I'm suggesting that they find out the politics of the area that they're moving to and see what works. And if it's working in that area, don't blow it on them. Leave them alone. Just whatever the locals do, you do too. You know, if they got it going on and you move to a wonderful place and it's a quiet bedroom community and the taxes are low and there's no income tax and the streets are still beautiful and the public schools are fine, why would you destroy that on them? So, you know, I don't really like when that happens. I live in Florida and I'm seeing a lot of it. You know, these liberals and they come to a new place and they start treating it like their old place. Can't have that. Go home. Go back. If you're going to come and improve the place or, you know, enjoy it the way it is, then be my guest. Please come. So you got to realize what you're doing. You got to, you know, I know a lot of people don't like to talk politics, but that is the root of all the major things that are going on. It's the politics. You know, and it's not like there really is much difference in the parties. Like we said about the Hunter Biden thing, both sides had to have been involved in that deal for there to even be a deal. And to present that bogus crap to that judge, expecting her to go along with it, that was audacity. Both sides were audacious in that. The prosecutor should have seen it. You know the prosecutor saw it. I shouldn't say they should have seen it. They did see it. They knew what was in there. They have to cross the T's and dot the I's too. So both sides were trying to pull a scam on that judge. And she busted them both.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad she did. But now, of course, she's in trouble and she's the bad guy. She's a Trump appointee. Like, that automatically makes her bad. You know, Trump was pretty good. Things were going good. We were not at war. Prices were reasonable. Energy was abundant. We were net producers of energy, not net consumers like we are now. We're at the mercy of other people that produce energy because Biden shut all our energy down. Made millions doing it. Didn't benefit us any, but the Biden's wallets are nice and fat now. Burisma's wallet's fat. China's wallet's fat. Russia's wallet's fat. And all the other places, Romania, everywhere they sold the energy rights to and shut us down. They shut down our refining. They shut down our drilling and our fracking and our mining and our offshore oil rigs. Shut it all down and put everybody else that he was paying him millions, put them on top. They're all producing energy, but we're not. Biden's benefited really good from it, but we didn't. All those other energy companies, they benefited handsomely from it at our expense. We're paying $4 a gallon for oil, for gas. Mm-hmm. We weren't paying that when Trump was president. Nobody was. He filled our oil reserve for 99 cents a gallon. And then Biden sold it all to China. And now he wants to buy $5 gas to refill it. So that's 500% more than Trump paid for it.
But it's okay because it's liberal.
Yeah, it's okay because it's liberal. And then they tell us we can't use oil. He's going after kitchen appliances, proof.
Oh, not just that. They're talking about water heaters, furnaces, air conditioners. They said if you need an air conditioner and you live in Las Vegas, then why did you move to Las Vegas?
Right. If you need heat and you're in Michigan.
Yeah, what, is everybody supposed to just move to San Diego?
And you know why they don't want gas products? Because
they can't
regulate
gas
it. Off remote.
Yeah.
Right. But you can shut electricity off remotely.
Yes.
If they want to freeze you to death.
Joanne, it's about that time where we're going to play Broccoli Man, and then we have a caller that wants to jump in.
Sure. We love callers. And Broccoli Man, that's a staple. We love him, too. All right. I will let you know when my skip ad comes.
Okay.
2, 3, 4. Okay. I'm up.
All right. So this one, a liberal person calls Sumem a racist. So I realized I haven't brought Sumem into the conversation in a while, so I added him in.
Okay.
All right. So let's check it out. So I'll do the countdown here. 3, 2, 1, action.
So I was watching the Jason Aldean video this morning. I am not sure where they are claiming racism on that song, bro.
Hey Sumem. It's just another made-up thing by radical leftists. If you call out their hypocrisies, they try to blast you with fake narratives.
I know, right? It's like a leftist is not allowed to be happy. They focus all day on how to make others angry.
They like to go around every store, every restaurant, and literally any place at all just looking for things to get offended by. There is something new every day that they say is racist.
Bro, but you know what is weird? Black people don't even see racism in that country song. They don't even listen to country. They can stone cold confess murders in a rap song. And maybe all it's just a song, just chill.
That's because some fake news person at Fake News Network put some piece out and some liberal press agency thought it was a fresh idea to tell everyone it is racist.
But there's not one word in a song that mentions race. It's just that if you do some of these bad things, people in rural America don't put up with crime like these liberals in big cities do.
Hey, broccoli person. I hate you so much. And you. You business is something that hurt for real. I bet you like Clarence Thomas.
Dude, did I even ask for your opinion? Why you all up in my business like I owe you rent money?
I am not a dude. I am as him/Zayers. That Jason Aldean song is the most racist song this year. You are black. You should know better. You are a traitor to your own race. I am loving and liberal. If you do not know the song is racist, then you hate black people.
For real? A white communist liberal is telling a black man they are racist for not finding racist lyrics in the song? And you are going to tell me how to be black? You can't be serious.
I understand racism because I am loving and liberal. I am tolerant to everyone who stands up for Antifa and Black Lives Matter. I am a trans vegan who supports communism and LGBTQ2PP+. Where were you during Pride Month? I had my junk out for all of Pride Month and let little black kids touch and do other stuff to my junk. Then broccoli person arrested me for no reason except he is a fascist that hates black trans kids. If you were loving and liberal, you would have allowed 6-year-olds to play with your junks.
That sounds like a great reason to get arrested. We do not let adults act sexually to children.
That's because you bees is an intolerant fascist business. We are coming for your child, Trent. If you do not like it, I will go to the media and call you racists, homophobes, and against children. How dare you support the sound of freedom? Because I am loving and liberal, I supported the Cuties movie on Netflix. Only boomer dads with maggot brains like the sound of freedom.
It's like you do whatever the fake news network tells you.
So liberal person, are you like an NPC?
Huh?
I fight against child trafficking. We need to stop exploiting the world's children and arrest all of you pedos out there that think grooming and molesting children is a great idea.
That's only because you are not open to communism. You are too old to know how great national socialism and democratic socialism is for all of us normal people. You are too brainwashed by Marjorie Taylor Greene to understand how great of a person Hunter Biden is.
Bruh.
You mean the dude that did an interview on 60 Minutes and bragged about how much crack cocaine he liked to smoke? Then in July 2023 the White House found a baggie of cocaine on the ground while he was there? And then the FBI did not even question one of the Bidens and dropped all the investigations? Even though the whole world knows it was his coke?
Cocaine should be legal like it is in Portland, San Francisco and New York City. There are even vending machines for free cocaine now. It is a good thing he is making it legal. What about Marjorie Taylor Greene showing pictures of poor Hunter Biden for no reason? She should get impeached from Congress for that.
You mean how every single government agency refuses to do anything about Hunter's laptop? And how people have the receipts of what is on the laptop? He was caught diddling kids. He forced kids in grade school to put his junk in their mouth. It might have even been on Epstein's Island for all we know. Why are you more worried about who showed the picture and not the evidence that he actually did something disgusting?
We do not care.
That's right. We need more smart liberals who are not racists like Hank Johnson in Congress.
You mean the dude that said Guam is going to tip over any day now because there are too many people on it?
You mean when he said we need more illegals because they cook our food and do construction? How is that not racist? I know a bunch of brothers and white dudes that do construction for $35 an hour. They ain't complaining. But if the Hispanics want to own a restaurant, are you saying you cannot own a restaurant because you're Hispanic?
I don't mind if Paco and Conchita own a taco shop. I would go there because they are Mexican.
But if they want to make donuts or omelets, are you saying I cannot open a steakhouse because I am black?
Hey racist, you need to stay in your own lane. Since you are black you can open any fried chicken shack or make ribs and it is not racist. But you might not be able to open up a restaurant because you are black and you cannot get an ID.
Well, You are all kinds of racist.
Mainstream media even says I am the correct thinker. You are the racist because you don't know how black people think. More black on black crime is happening because of global warming. And also white supremacy. So if we rounded up all the white people who are conservatives and put them in FEMA camps, then the black on black crime would stop. Even though FEMA camps do not exist.
But how would they put us in FEMA camps if they do not exist?
Silence, you conservative scumbag. Both of you hate women.
Can you tell us what a woman is?
No, I cannot. Because I support women.
That makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense. Because I am loving and liberal. Because I am loving and liberal and support the current thing, we need to ban all of your gas stoves, your air conditioners, and your gas generators. We also need to ban home ownership and have everyone live in government-approved mobile homes. People that use gas only use it because of white supremacy.
If we ban gas, how will you get to work?
If we ban gas, that does not affect me. I take the bus everywhere.
But doesn't the bus run on gas? That's what I thought.
We will live in 15 minute cities. We can walk everywhere. We can all ban cars and be happy. Just like Klaus Schwab says.
You will not be allowed to go anywhere outside of a 15 minute walk or you will go to prison. How does that make sense?
It's the best way to reduce carbon.
But the carbon they want to get of is you.
You should be proud of the fact that Snow White has black people as the dwarves now.
But they got rid of the dwarves. Why, you know that the midgets ain't got no work now.
Broccoli person is just upset that we are trying to keep arresting Donald Trump and censoring Robert F. Kennedy Jr. We cannot have right-wing conspiracy theorists like them be on the news or on TV. They are too extreme and lie about the FBI and CIA.
The alphabet agencies killed his father and his uncle. He also shares a bunch of truth about many other subjects.
He is just a right-wing plant. His goal is to beat Brandon and Michael Robinson Obama. Michael Robinson Obama is such a nice lady.
Isn't that what you are supposed to do when you run in an election? You are supposed to beat your opponent.
Shut up, racist. You are just saying that because you hate Jews and women and trans people.
When these radicals lose a debate, all they have is name calling. They cannot win an argument with logic.
You tell me I am right right this second or I will call you every racist name and a bunch of profanities. I will call Fake News Network personally and tell them I have evidence that both of you are anti-trans and e-vegan and are homophobic, racist, misogynist, xenophobes who are also specists.
Hey everyone. We need to defeat these globalists. They think they can bully us. Stop being scared of these radicals. Please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and all the news you need to hear. Check him out at freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Proof Negative has been on a long time and is very real. You can trust him.
I do not trust anyone that is still using the he slash him or her slash she pronouns. If you still believe in being a cisgender, you are dead to me. You all something that cares need to listen to our fake news and learn how you can be one of the many other millions of genders. You need to stop being racists and against black people like some and be loving and liberal. Whoever is not supporting communism is definitely a Nazi.
Huh?
That was
right,
good.
So your thoughts?
That was really good. You hit on all the key subjects, too. Yeah, this is just... that you keep getting better at it. I like your little sign, Barefoot is Legal, too.
The other side had Freedomizer Radio.
Yeah.
Right, that's where they're standing in front of.
Yep. That was good. I like this guy with the ram horns.
Yeah, that's Sumim. So, yeah, they're you have a white communist telling him he's racist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's the racist. He's the bad guy, and she knows better because... she's loving and liberal. That's crazy. That was a good one. Proud
yeah,
of
you. But you can't say that's not how they act.
It is how they act. That's exactly how they act. They just repeat psychobabble talking points, and then when you confront them on them and ask them to use a little common sense and, okay, explain that to me, oh, you're a racist. How am I a racist? Yep, everybody's
so,
a racist.
Bianchi wanted to say hi today, so I opened his mic.
Oh, hello, Bianchi. Good to hear
hello,
from
everybody.
You. How are you doing tonight,
great.
Friend?
I'm doing fine. I got a question.
Sure.
Now, those boys that's out there in the water, if the Justice Department wants to sue, well, let me ask a question. Suppose Mexico put them out in the water, then what?
Yeah. What if Mexico
well,
did
them? If Mexico installed them out in the water for whatever their purpose is, so I guess the Justice Department is going to try to tell Mexico they need to remove them?
Right.
They
yeah.
have no authority.
They don't have any authority. Mexico's a sovereign country, but Texas is a sovereign state, too. But they're trying to use the thing that the federal government is in charge of migration, which they are. However, if the country is being invaded and the federal government is not doing anything to stop the invasion, then Texas has the right to defend their own borders.
The United States government protects the nation border, not
right.
the state's borders. The national borders is along the northern edge with Canada and either the eastern and western seaboard and also down around the Gulf. That
right.
is the national borders. Now, because of international agreement, maritime agreement, if a distressed ship is shipwrecked, then those passengers, the crew on that ship, is allowed to come ashore and seek refuge until they can further be rescued.
Right.
But anything beyond that, you are still on state's land. Actually, they're countries.
Mm-hmm.
So the United States don't have any control over state's borders, state land. And I don't know why
right.
come people pretend like that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not. Okay,
mm-hmm.
then another thing. You talk about these people going into these stores, looting, tearing up
mm-hmm.
stuff. Well, I tell you what, let's just make an accounting of all that and subtract it from any potential reparations. Yeah, you got reparations, but let's add up all this stuff that's been told up, tore up, and these companies had to pay for it. Just subtract that from their reparations.
I got something else while you're here, Bianchi. I'm glad you came in. So California, get this, Bianchi. California said that they want to eliminate child support if the mother is white and the father is black and is not paying. That's excusable because that's to be more fair to black people.
California people is crazy as hell, man. I don't know what to tell you about that. I really don't.
Can you imagine
you
I don't have
to
pay child support for my kids because I'm black? How does that work?
Well, I think child support should start being paid from the moment of conception myself, but you know how far that would go. But no,
mm-hmm.
these people that's tearing up stuff, find out who they are, we should track it from their potential reparation bill. If you did that, they probably... net amount that they received would probably be $4.95.
That child support thing, that further takes the father away from the child in the black family. And if the father is black and the mother is white, shouldn't the father be more involved in it and to, you know, teach their child the black experience as well as the white experience? And shouldn't the father be in the home to raise that child? And if they're not going to be in the home, shouldn't they be contributing? It doesn't matter the color of the parent. If one of the parents is not there, they should contribute to the child who is there, whether it be the mother or the father. If the mother is not in the picture and the father has the children, the mother has a job, the mother should be paying child support to the father. You know, I mean, and it shouldn't have anything to do with race. But just saying that the black father is excused, that further takes the father out of the home. What children need most is two parents, and they need their fathers. Fathers are so important. They're trying to minimize the importance of men in our society. That's crazy. Fathers are protectors. Fathers are loving. Fathers are firm and teach their children respect and things like that. You know, kids go hog wild if there isn't a firm male role model in the family and in their lives. You know, you're looking at all these fatherless children, it doesn't matter the color of the father. The father is important, and the children suffer when the father is not around. Same as they would if the mother wasn't around. You know, if you're going
to
make children, that's a lifelong commitment.
I'm trying to figure
out
how child support is considered white privilege.
That's ridiculous. Child support.
I sent you the article.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. That's racist. You exclude somebody? I don't care. If they had said, if a black woman and a white man are married and the white man leaves the house, he doesn't have to pay child support, the country would light up. No, we can't have that for any race. They're further trying to divide us, and we need each other. You know, they're saying, oh, this guy don't have to pay because he's black. So that puts a wedge between black and white relationships. You know, if two guys are sitting in a bar and they're talking, one pays child support, one doesn't because he's black, that's not conducive to a good relationship. These guys are friends. You know, but you start feeling like oppressing another race doesn't erase the oppression of the first race. And as far as reparations for slavery, slavery was a very bad thing. Slavery's been going on. Read the Bible. Even Jesus' stepfather, Joseph, was a slave at one time. How far you want to go back? You know, to the beginning of time? Let's go to Libya. There's slaves there right now. How about coming across that border today? There's slaves coming across that border. How about we all pull ourselves together and free them? You got sex slaves coming over that border, child slaves coming over that border, indentured slaves coming across that border. They can't, they're not free. They owe a debt to whoever got them here. So they're not free. Let's free them. How about we pay it forward? How about we free these child sex slaves? How about we free the slaves in Libya or in India or in Africa? There's lots of slaves right now, currently, in the world. You know, we're crying over something that happened 240 years ago. None of us were around. Unless you're 243 years old, you weren't here. So what are we still fighting about it for? We have made so much progress. This country, you know, our founding fathers said, all men are created equal. People wanted them dead for that. Some of them did get dead for it. But by saying those words, it gave us the building blocks to build to where we are now. Americans are free. Opportunity is there. We're robbing people of opportunity. We're robbing the children of opportunity when we're not educating them. And we're training them to be little activists. So we're destroying the possibility of them being prosperous as they get older. All they're going to know is what your little liberal, loving liberal chick there on your broccoli man. That's all they're going to know. But, you know, we gotta do better. And as far as race wars, stop it. Stop it right now. That's crazy, and we all need each other. So if we stop falling for it, eventually it'll just fizzle out. If, you know, white people and black people all say, oh, I'm tired of listening to this craziness. You know, I know a lot of white people. I know a lot of black people. They don't treat me bad. So what are they talking about? I don't know. I'm sure there's a method to their madness. I'm sure there's a reason for it. And dividing us and keeping us from talking to each other and loving one another and keeping us from focusing on the real things, because we're focusing on stupid things. You know, it's tired. It's old. This is my opinion.
Well, I think that's a lot of people's opinions, so.
I hope so. You know, I have a mixed family, and I love every one of them, and they all love me. So, you know, we're not playing that game. We're not going along with that. We're going to continue to be a family, and we're going to continue to respect each other and love each other and wish each other well. You know, these kids are on football teams and baseball teams, and, you know, they're all mixed, and they get along just fine. You look out the door, you see the kids playing basketball, you see them walking home from school all together and stuff. Whatever world these people are with the white supremacists and the racists and all of that, I don't know where they are. I have never seen a KKK person. I have never seen a white supremacist that I know of. You know, who's the white supremacist?
I saw one person in my life that had a Nazi tattoo.
I only saw one, too, that was that Charles Manson. He's got a big swastika on his forehead. That's the only one I've ever seen.
I meant, like, in real life, I met one person that had a Nazi tattoo.
Wow. I've never even seen one on a person. Never seen a Nazi tattoo on anybody
that's
I know.
That's one out of I don't know how many millions of people I've seen over
there. Yeah, how
many
million people have you encountered in your life? But, you know, that person's a scumbag. Okay, there's one.
Yeah.
And the white supremacists, that's people like Joe Biden who are pimping this race strife and race hate. He was on TV doing it.
Did you know
Bianchi's
in the
Yes,
you know in the late 1930s, that Haiti was providing asylum to Jews fleeing the Nazis, and they offered over 5,000 of them nationalities in Haiti. Nobody talks about that.
Oh yeah, I didn't know about that. But, I mean, what are you thinking about this, Bianchi, this race hate they're trying to... Did you see Biden the other day? Yes.
Biden is being manipulated. Biden is manipulated. And I think someone has something over his head. And
oh, yeah.
If you pay much closer attention to it, sooner or later, you'll probably be able to pinpoint. He'll probably up his mouth pretty soon.
Oh,
but,
yeah, I'm sure he's being blackmailed.
And
see, Biden's right.
Playing for it. Like this thing with Emmett Till, he done what? He issued a proclamation. It's not a law, people. It's a proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
They do proclamations all the damn time. They don't have no meaning whatsoever. And another thing, they want to put up statues to Emmett Till. Okay, that's good. But what if Italians who are related to the two Italian women that Emmett Till's father raped and one other was killed, when he was in the military,
mm-hmm.
because he had a restraining order from being around Emmett Till's mother because he used to beat her. And he broke
wow.
the restraining order, and the judge gave him an opportunity to either go back to prison or go to the military. So he chose the military. But while there, he raped these two white Italian women, and he was court-martialed in the military court and lynched. So
wow.
if Italian here in America who's related to those women, suppose they said, we're going to tear this statue down.
Yeah. Yeah, see, they don't tell you that part.
No.
You know, they just lionize the guy. And
they want to talk about Donald Trump's grandfather, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's like blaming me for something my great-grandfather did. How is that my responsibility? I wasn't there. I didn't do it. I didn't make him do it. You know, whatever it was. My family didn't have slaves. But even throughout our whole history, none of us had slaves. But still, you know, there was other things they were up to. But they, you know, that still wasn't my responsibility. How the hell was it my fault? How was anything your ancestors did your fault? You weren't there. But they keep bringing it up. Oh, yeah, this, you know, if you ask a kid right now about George Washington, what do you know about George Washington? Oh, he was a slave owner. That's all you know? Wow. Back then, slavery was normal. Slavery was accepted until people like George Washington said, all men are created equal. And then in increments, it came to fruition. Didn't happen overnight. No, it didn't. It couldn't have happened overnight. That was out of the norm. That was so radical, people wanted him dead for it. So,
well, people having slaves were not breaking any laws.
Right.
What laws were they breaking? None.
No, it was
legal. I don't
legal.
Even get into those arguments anymore.
And the amount of slaves. You know, I mean, the way to hear these kids talk now, you'd think that every white person had a slave. No, they didn't.
You know who was the big slaveholders in the South? It was the mulattoes. You want me to name you some? Ray Hagan's family. Mariel, who's the head of the Urban League, his family. They control them people down there. They
right.
control the darkies.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then this black guy wrote a book, and he said during slavery, even though it was horrible and everything, black people did learn skills. They learned how to, you know, be, like make the shoes for the horses and what do they call some kind of smith, and silversmiths, and they could fix machinery and equipment and all of that. And those were skills that did help them once slavery was abolished. And you would have thought that, I mean, DeSantis repeated it, but you would have thought the guy that wrote the book had stabbed somebody in the heart. The guy was a black guy who wrote the book. He was looking through historical things, and he noted that black people did gain skills during the time in slavery. And
a lot of them gained a whole lot of skills.
Absolutely.
You know who in your time say they gained skills? Malcolm X, he was in prison. Don't they say that when you're basically you are being enslaved, especially
mm-hmm.
when you're duly convicted? Another one,
yeah.
You had automobile manufacturer by the name coming out of Ohio, C.R. Patterson. He was a slave, worked with a white blacksmith. Then at some
mm-hmm.
point he started producing his own automobile, even before Henry Ford.
Nice.
And called the Lindsay.
I love learning these things. Thank you.
You had another black man who was making saltpeter. Saltpeter is a component of gunpowder. He
mm-hmm.
made saltpeter, and he sold it to both sides in the Civil War. You had others that was planters who sponsored settlers to the country, and they received 50 acres of land for each settler that they sponsored to the country. So they profited from slavery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even slaves. You know, you talk about how slaves bought their loved ones freedom. Well, where did they get
yeah.
the money from?
Right. Yeah, so they, you know, they must have paid off the debt. Which really wasn't their debt because they didn't have any choice in being purchased. But, you know, once the work was worth the value of the purchase price, they were given their freedom, and then they were hired and paid a wage. And that's how they bought them. The Irish, the first slaves were with that 100 Irish children. And they were indentured into servitude. And they had to pay off their slave owners. And they paid them off with labor. And then they, once the labor was paid off, they received a salary. Not a big salary, but enough to free the other slaves. And it's been going on through history, and it's still going on. And we all know it was wrong. We all know it was abhorrent. We know it was bad. And it's still bad. And there's people out there who are slaves now. I think we should all join together and try to help them. Because we can't change the past. We can't do anything about that. But we sure as hell can change the future for those people. You know, I mean, when the past calls, hang up on it. It's got nothing new to say. But
well,
the slaves.
The one that's causing all the problems is these liberal whites and these Marxist woke black activists.
Yep.
They cause a bunch of crap. But anyway.
And they're getting paid for it. The people that they get to join in their marches and stuff, they're not getting paid. But the agitators are. They're making money at it. You, all the people with the Antifas, the leaders are making money at it. Even lawyers are making money. You see in all these riots and all these events, you see the people with the lime green hats, you know, those electric green baseball caps? Those are lawyers and observers, and they're from the UN and other Soros groups. There's some law firm, not law firm, law agency, like the one that Bernadine Dorn started. What's the name of that law thing that they do? I'll look it up. But Bernadine Dorn started this law firm, this law activist organization. And those people with the green baseball caps, and they're usually white. And they go walking through the crowd, and they're making sure that everybody's doing their job, and they're writing down, you know, half those people there, the agitators, those are employees. The other people that get sucked in. You see, even like in Ferguson, you see all these white people breaking all the windows in the stores and lighting fires. Sure, the neighborhood kids come in and looted the place afterwards, but they didn't break those windows. The agitators did.
Yeah,
they
but Joanne, if I could jump in, another side benefit to having the white Black Lives Matter protesters do it is because if they do go to jail, then the white people go to jail.
Yeah.
The black people didn't do anything except protest. The white people broke the windows.
Well, yeah, there's video of the white people breaking the windows. Even in that Jason Aldean video, I paid attention to it. And there's somebody lighting a Molotov, and you can tell clearly that the person's skin is white. Even though they're wearing a mask, you can see their hand and their wrist.
No, I'm just saying they have the white people do the dirty work because then you don't want black people going to jail for that. They'd rather have white people go to jail for that.
Yeah, well, you see the ones that are doing it, though, that you're right. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe they were put up to it. They were the sacrificial lambs, just per se. But you see that the people getting the party started, those are mostly white people. And you look at these BLM marches, they were predominantly white in the marches, like the one in Boston.
Yeah.
They must have had 20 black people, and the rest were all white people. The black people were like, nah, I ain't hanging with those crazy people. I don't blame them either. I wouldn't hang with them. And Bianchi's right. It's the white liberals that feel that they are so superior that they have to rush in with their lily white self and save the black people because the black people can't get IDs, like you said, and they can't have, you know, they can't do anything for themselves. They have to lower test standards. That instead of teaching the children, they say, nah, these kids can't learn. That's racist. Of course they can learn. Black people are thriving if you teach them to read. Look at people like Ben Carson. You know, he's black. He learned just fine. He's a famous pediatric neurosurgeon. Look at all these people driving cars. It seems like they got an ID. You know, it's the liberal mindset. It's twisted. So they think blacks are inferior because they feel themselves to be superior. And that's the white supremacists that we should worry about. Those must be the ones Joe Biden's talking about. He's talking about the white liberals. Those are the white supremacists that we should be wary of. The rest of the white people, they're just trying to make it. Just like the black people, just trying to make it to Friday, you know?
Right.
If we fall for it, we deserve it. But we should all know better by now. This is all of our country. America is black country. America is white country. It's Asian country. It's Hispanic country. We all belong here. We're Americans. And Americans come in all races. We should start acting like it. I always say, you know, when our troops landed on the beaches in Normandy, the enemy didn't say, here comes the black, white, Hispanic, Asian, straight, Jewish, black, you know, I mean, they just said, here comes the
Americans. And I know they didn't say, here's the trans women.
No, they didn't say that. I don't think we had any of those landed on the beaches in Normandy. I saw a thing about that today, about these transes in the military. I guess if you're trans, you can, it says here that you can skip deployment indefinitely.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess that the guy on
Yeah, if you're trans, you don't ever have to go into frontline infantry. So there's, I guess if you get drafted, you could just say you're transing.
Yeah, but that gets you out of combat, but not of deployment, yep. So that guy on MASH was a trendsetter, huh?
Yeah.
He was just playing that up. So he could get sent home because he was trying to get a Section 8, remember? What was his name? Jamie Farr? What was his character?
Oh, wow. I remember it, but I...
Yeah.
I was never really a fan of MASH, so I remember that. I remember Jamie Farr. I just don't remember his character's name.
Yeah, I know it like I know my own, but I've drawn a complete blank. Speaking of that, you see Mitch McConnell freezing up?
I didn't know what to think of that.
Yeah, he was in the middle of a sentence, and he just stopped. But his eyes went dead. That guy had a stroke right in front of us.
Yeah, he had a stroke.
Yeah, that was definitely a stroke. You know, one of those mini strokes. He just froze up, but if you saw his eyes, he went completely hollow. He didn't know where he was, who he was. He didn't, and he couldn't speak.
Hmm.
When, the other guy said to him, do you want to say anything else to the press or you want to go back to your office? He didn't speak. He turned around and he walked away. I'm surprised he could even walk because he was really having a hard, he was struggling. That guy had a stroke right in front of us. I don't want anybody to stroke out like that. I'm not a big fan of Mitch McConnell's. He's done some good things. He's done some bad things. He's as corrupt as it gets. But, yeah, I don't want to see him stroke out any more than I wanted to see Joe Biden fall. I don't want to see him fall. I would want him to be exposed, and I don't want him to be president. He's corrupt, you know, and he should be, you know, there should be consequence to his actions, but not, I don't want him to, like, fall or anything. I don't want him to drop dead in front of us. I don't want him to have
maybe,
a stroke in
maybe
front
I'm
of us.
Just the weird one. I don't want him to fall down, but I like when he falls up, when he goes up the stairs and falls. Somehow that's
yeah,
funny to me.
Well, it is comical, but, you know, this guy, Bianchi's right. He's just a vessel. He's not running anything. And I think he's playing part of it. I don't think he's as cognitively damage as he's playing up to be. He is playing some of it. You know, if he doesn't want to answer a question, he just goes straight up noodlehead. And what are you going to say to him? He's 80-something years old and he can get away with it. But he's shrewd, too. You know, he still is his corrupt political self in there. just goes off on tangents and he has lapses. And he's, you know, he's 81 years old. They're talking about, oh, term limits and age limits. I don't know about the age limit because I know some other 81-year-olds that are as sharp as you or me. You know, my mother-in-law,
in all fairness,
94
Bernie
years
Sanders
old, she's
is,
still drives.
Is acting way younger than Brandon and Bitch McConnell.
Yeah. Look at Donald Trump. He's 70-something. No one's talking about him being cognitively impaired. He's not. He's as sharp as tacks. Like I said, my mother-in-law is 94 years old. She still remembers people that pissed her off 100 years ago.
Oh, wow.
No, she really, she can hold a grudge. She's an old Italian lady from Naples, Italy. She's American, but she can hold a grudge, and she can hold a conversation, too. And she remembers every detail. The woman still drives. So, yeah, she has no Alzheimer's, no memory lapses, none of that. She's still actually in good shape, too. She walks up and downstairs. She sweeps her streets. She takes her dog for walks. She does her own shopping. Mm-hmm. She drives her car. So it's not age. It's the physical, you know, ailments and stuff that's going on with Biden. And that does happen to some people, you know, if that Alzheimer's is a thing. And his is getting worse. But underneath it all, he's still shady. So, you know, he's smart enough not to open his mouth when they're yelling questions at him about his kid. He just walks away from them. And he's the one that put the kid up to it. The kid was a crackhead. You know, and as long as they kept him in crack and hookers, he would do whatever they want him to do. You know, the same people that are handling his father are handling that kid. And I think that Biden's son, Hunter, and Biden's daughter, what's her name, Ashley?
Ashley, yeah.
I think the two of them planted those things to hurt their father. You know, if you got all that stuff on your laptop, you don't take it to get fixed. You buy another laptop.
Well,
you don't let that
again,
out of your sight.
If somebody's on that many drugs, maybe they just weren't thinking straight. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a possibility, too. But what about the kid? What about the daughter with the diary? She keeps that diary. She writes in it every day. And then
yeah.
She left it at a rehab and never went back for it. But then the Secret Service came and got it, or the FBI. And the person that was in possession of it got arrested. Which means that was really her diary that they were in possession of. Because you wouldn't get arrested for something that wasn't yours. And if it wasn't her diary, why would they arrest this person? But then to say that the father showered with her when she was a teenager. She was a young teen, but still. You know, I think you stop showering with the baby when the baby's old enough to give it a bath by itself. You know, if the kid can't walk and the father's in the shower and the mother hands the baby to the father and says, here, wash this kid, it just crapped its pants. And then the mother takes the kid back from the father and he can finish his shower. Okay, that's something. But when the child is a teenager, you don't get in the tub with your kid. You just don't.
No.
Well, but, you know, maybe they subconsciously left that evidence there. You know, it could have been a cry for help. You know, he was saying that he had to support the whole family, and he wrote to his daughter that he was never going to make her pay his bills and like he does for his father. And, you know, I don't think the kid wanted to do all that. But there he is around the world, strong-arming people.
Well, he got his free money, so can you imagine just being on that Burisma board just because of your name?
Right. Yeah, you get a $500,000 a month paycheck. But the guy from Burisma said that they put the squeeze on him. He didn't even want to bribe them, but he had to. Because Biden was going to get that prosecutor fired.
Yeah.
That's a quid pro quo.
Yeah, but the only one that got in trouble for that was Trump because he wanted to investigate that.
Right, yeah. He wanted to investigate it. So he got impeached by the person, you know. And now the guy who he was looking to investigate is the president and trying to put him in jail. And they're trying to put Trump in jail for stupid stuff. Even process things and civil things. They want to put him in jail. Get out of here.
But my whole thought on this, Joanne, is there's no way in the world in a legit election that Gavin Newsom can come anywhere close to Trump. So
no.
they have to try their best to do what they can to torpedo Trump just so the New World Order can have their globalist puppet, because there's no difference between Gruesome and Justin Trudeau.
None. None at all. And then they got this Jack the Ripper jerk just following Trump around, just dropping charges on him everywhere he can, you know, find a state that would, or Soros DA that'll do it.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's Trump's agent creating tour stops.
Yeah. Yeah, Jack the Fixer. And his only job is, it's like Chris Christie, his only job is to try to torpedo Trump, too. He knows he's not going to be president, and he's taking donor money to try to sink Trump. And
did
he's not going to do it.
Did you say donor or donut money?
All of the above.
No, I didn't know what you said. I wasn't trying to be funny.
Oh,
I was going to say
no,
that's a good one.
Donor. Yeah, no, he's probably taking donut money, too. But, yeah, no, donor money. The donors are giving him money
okay. Just
to badger Trump. And
yeah.
The same with that Jack Smith, the loser. You know, he knows he's going to lose, and he's set for losing. But the process is the goal, not the outcome. You're right. Torpedo, that's a good word. That's his only job, is to torpedo Trump. Because you're right, they have to sink Trump.
Hypothetically speaking, though, if Mike Pence is in, what, fifth place or something? If Mike Pence somehow got the top job, they would treat him no different than they're treating Trump, because that's the enemy. So I don't
True.
Know why he thinks that he could play ball with them now and they're going to be okay with leaving him alone.
They're not going to leave him alone. They're going to torture him. They're going to torture any Republican. Doesn't matter the Republican. They're torturing Trump because he's the front runner. But if Mike Pence was the front runner or Ron DeSantis was the front runner, they're going after them. Right now, they're propping them up and they're donating like crazy to people like DeSantis and Pence and Nikki Haley, Asa Hutchinson, that's a couple of other ones. They're donating all kinds of money to them to try to take Trump down. But let me tell you something. If one of them got the nomination, you're right. They would be just as ruthless to whoever it is that's the nominee. Yeah, they're going to be nice to them at first to try to get them into the nomination. But as soon as, like they did with Trump, Hillary Clinton and all those Democrats, they propped up Trump. They just splashed him all over the place. They helped him be the front runner. And then they dropped Manafort on him to help him get the delegates. But then Manafort was supposed to tank Trump during the general election. But as soon as he got that nomination, he got rid of Manafort, remember? And he brought in Kellyanne. Yeah, because he knew that Manafort was a sleeper. And the only reason that he was helping him was because Hillary thought that Trump was going to be the easier one to beat. So they helped Trump get in, and then they were going to help Trump get out. but that backfired. So they're doing it again. They're propping up all these second and third tier candidates to try to take Trump down a notch. And should one of them get that nomination, they'll be just as ruthless to that Republican as they were to Trump as to anyone else.
So before, I just got the 90-second buzzer real quick here. So I see that they're trying to do a Republican debate, and Ronna McDaniel is really trying to shame Trump into doing the debate, but there's no reason for him to be there.
I agree with you. There is absolutely no reason that Trump should be there. They are not even in the same league as him. And what's he going to do, just go in there and be a punching bag for them so that they can try to score points against him? They're going to do that anyhow. They can do it without him. If Trump is smart, he should have a rally down the street with 50,000 people while they're debating.
Yeah, leave them with an empty auditorium. I see you guys.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate all the things you contribute over here. I learned a lot from
you
tonight.
We agree.
Thank you. See you guys later.
And good night, Freedomizers. Good night, Proof.
All right. Good night, Joanne and everyone else. Please support the other shows on the network. It's not just the Proof Negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent forest fires. I am Proof Negative, and I am out.